Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
Can I say something?
Join us here every Monday and
Wednesday
night on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
Is it? Is it Wednesday? Is it Wednesday, everybody? I'm going to call attention to the fact that we're on the wrong day. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a rare, semi-rare, well-done version of Wednesday night.
That's like a play on words. I got it. It was like cooking. I get it.
Exactly. Welcome to Best in Show Radio on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. My name is Keith. And we are joining you tonight on a Wednesday night because we will not be joining you tomorrow night. Is that correct? Will we be?
That is 100% correct. This week we will be, because of scheduling issues with our program, we will be doing our show on Wednesday. And we will not be doing it on Thursday. Our buddies, The Awful Hour, were kind enough to give us their spot tonight and allow us to broadcast live from their position. From their position, from their schedule, from their slot, their time slot. And tomorrow, in the Best in Show time slot, we will be replaying The Awful Hour. And again, tonight as well. I think after our show, immediately afterwards, we're going to be playing The Awful Hour. So The Awful Hour is going to get a double play this week, a double shot, if you will. I'm sorry, you were saying something?
Thank you, kind stranger. Now can you let my partner sit down?
Sure thing.
And as I look across the table, just sitting down, taking that kind stranger's seat, it's my buddy Chris.
Hi, fella. How are you?
I'm very good.
I'm a little confused right now. I'm desperately trying to get myself all organized to start the show here, just turning up the computers. It's always fun to run in the door about 12 seconds before time. It's good, exciting stuff.
Hey, Chris, it's Wednesday and we're on the air.
Oh, wacky. It's wackazanical.
Over to the right of me, I guess he's my right-hand man now. That would be Mr. Fred.
What's up, Keith? What's up, Chris? Good to see you.
Good to be seen. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me to the program tonight, Fred.
Everyone's so polite. It's like Thanksgiving dinner around here.
I went to finishing school. I know what to do.
You've never been to my house Thanksgiving dinner. Remember, you eat off paper plates at my house. There's no one's kind.
Right now, it's like Thanksgiving dinner at your house because to my left is Brian.
Well, it was a Wednesday.
Oh, because we're doing a show on Wednesday.
That's right.
Hey, who's producing our Wednesday show over there? Who's that?
Hey, boys. What's going on? It's Wednesday.
Wait, you have to introduce yourself, though. We don't know who you are. Your name is Wednesday Adams. Look, it's our executive producer, Wednesday Adams. Welcome, Wednesday.
And my name is Bobby G.
Wait, that too?
Wow, it's Wednesday.
I do want to apologize for anyone who is happening to tune in to HearUsTalk.com in full expectations of hearing an awful hour, and they have to suffer through us. So
three awful hours?
Yeah. So, yeah, my apologies right up front.
Yeah, they wouldn't be here at 8 o'clock. That'll be an hour from now when people are going to tune in and be like, what the hell? What's going on? I wanted to hear some guys say that he was somebody other than he was to start a show. What's
like Tony and Neil Chop tuning in. What the hell?
I'll apologize again at 9.
I like shaking up the routine, though. It feels weird. When you throw in a day here or a day there.
It does feel weird.
Good, I'm glad, because you're going to do the rest of the show alone.
I will say that, in all honesty, there was a certain an air of excitement as I drove over here today. Well, obviously, other than the fact that I was running late, but just the idea of, like, holy crap, we're not even ready to do this show tonight. This is awful. All day today, I'm on Pal Talk and Instant Messenger, and I'm trying to work on show topics, but I can't because I'm spending the entire time playing Pet Society. I mean, not Pet Society, playing Restaurant City in Facebook with Barb in the Pal Talk room and talking to DJ Newstyle over and over again all day saying, yeah, man, what's this? Oh, man, I really got to start working on topics. Yo, but then this. And we just talked.
So your topics tonight are Restaurant City and Pet Society.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought it up. So, Restaurant City, it's good. It's good.
I like the fact that we're not doing it, that we're doing it today, because it was sort of like preemptively done. It was sort of last minute, and it essentially, now I feel like I got a free day. Like tomorrow's kind of like, wow, I've got all Thursday. I can just play video games I could burn the day. Like, I don't have to stress about not being prepared.
When you two gentlemen, I'm speaking directly to you, Keith, and to you, Brian, when you go home tonight, when you eventually get home, will you be watching a TiVo or DVRing of Lost?
Yes.
Okay. See, because I don't know, because to me, I always watch Lost after the show. So I always do it like tomorrow night or Friday night. So it's not a big deal for me, but I don't know if that throws your whole schedule of your life off.
I try to watch it live, but if for some reason I don't, then I usually watch it Thursday morning at the latest. So
yeah, it doesn't get ruined for you in between though that 24-hour, 48-hour period.
Most people, and I, because I'm saying it now, most people don't usually ruin it on the Facebook with their status updates or anything like that.
No,
most people
don't
really talk to me. Nah, I don't talk to people about Lost at work. We talk about filthy things.
I was having a fantasy baseball draft. Please.
I just wanted to point out that if people wanted to join the show, they could by calling 877-744-6405. But your fantasy baseball draft?
I was having a fantasy baseball draft on a Wednesday night.
It was a Wednesday.
Me and Boss are kind of hungry.
And so I pointed out at the beginning, nobody mentioned what's happening on Lost tonight. And so nobody did, because a couple people were excited, oh, I'm going to watch Lost and do this. And I didn't want to. I wanted to pay. I like to pay attention to Lost. I don't like to be doing other things.
The island is a sled.
So, damn it. So... we had to redo it because there was a problem with ESPN's like website. And the following week, it's the same exact people. And for some reason, they thought that this week it was okay just to start talking about the show right in the middle after we went through a big thing about how it was. So you know what? I'm gonna stop talking about this right now because, you know, I don't like the whole idea of telling little kids, hey, don't do that.
Well, I'm gonna talk about it. Because typically, my girlfriend and I watch Lost together, so I'm actually forced most of the time not to see it live. And there's like this sort of antsy.
She's not home on Wednesday night.
Usually, like the schedule is weird, so that it's not happening. And if she's not there, then that means I'm in the Heroes Talk chat room listening to like the Awful Hour or whatever is going on Wednesday usually. So yeah, I put it off until she's there, which means that could drag a day or even 2 days before I've seen it. And I'm on one of these mailing lists with like a bunch of crazy Lost theorizers. At 5 minutes after it's over, there's 20 emails being thrown at me with things in the subject line that are like exposing stuff. It just kills me.
You're not currently employed, yes?
No, not technically.
Are you notified of work via email? Like, is there a reason you'd have to be in your email?
My life kind of revolves around email,
Why I was asking. I didn't know. My point was, if you weren't working, can't you get away with like just like not looking at email for a day or two? Don't people talk to you?
I guess I could. If someone needed me at work and I didn't respond to them immediately on the email, they'd probably call me.
That's how they notify you via email. Then it does make sense for you to be in there.
What if tonight your girlfriend watches Lost Live and at 10 o'clock sends out an email, including to you, hey, I can't believe this happened.
By the way, I think in even bringing it up, I think we've tempted the fates. I think in this show we're going to get notified here.
That was my whole...
I don't think she will watch it without me. It's sort of become an unspoken faux pas for either of us to watch it alone without the other person.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. If you watched it without her, she would be pissed?
She'd be a little miffed, yeah, that we didn't save it for the experience. And, you know, a lot of the times we'll watch it after she's had a busy day and she gets halfway through and she's falling asleep. The rule is that I'm not supposed to wake her up when she's falling asleep in the middle of like a show.
the rule.
But apparently, like, Lost is the exception. I'm supposed to wake her up. But I'll look over and I'll see that she's sleeping, and it's kind of like, I'll want to wake her up. The minute I start to shake her, she gets irritated. I can see, like, the anger in her eyes, and I'm like, Lost, baby, you asked for it.
See, you know what? My girlfriend and I kind of have this whole thing with Lost, like, it's like this unwritten thing that if one of us starts falling asleep, it's kind of like, all right, stop this. We're going to watch this another time. Because it's the only show I don't want to fall asleep during and wake up at the big scene at the end and then, you know, go back and watch.
Totally. But, Brian, you never watched Lost and then lied to your girl and said, I didn't watch it, and, like, fake surprise and fake, you know, like, laughter and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened.
No, it's already pretty bad that actually, maybe that's the solution, because if I didn't know what was coming up, or if I do know what's coming up, I can probably keep my mouth shut. But when I haven't seen the episode, but I guess what's coming up, I just can't control myself but spitting out what's going to happen.
Okay.
And 5 minutes later, when I'm right, when it does happen, she gets so freaking angry. Like, I've ruined the experience for her. So maybe I should be watching it, like, under the radar.
So you're one of those people that are just horrible to watch movies with that you've seen before?
I have to, not only
you're
do
like,
I have
quote
to...
the character, I hate those
I
people.
Have to, no, not seen it before, but if I've never seen it, and I think I know what's going to happen, not only do I have to, like, acknowledge myself, but I have to, the people around me have to know that I'm smart enough that I was able to figure out what happened.
See, you know what? I always end up finding myself saying, I'll be watching awful. Something and I'll be like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And then normally, you know, if you're watching that with someone and you say, they'll just be like, well, oh, well, what do you think is going to happen? And then I'm just like, no, forget it. I don't want to say it because then I feel bad. But, like, so I just have to throw out that I know what's going to happen. And then, like, basically I'll be trusted later on because I'll say, oh, no, that's not what I thought was going to happen at all.
There's no sort of enjoyment in just knowing that you know and letting other people enjoy stuff. You feel like you have to.
They have to know
you have
that
to
I
be,
know.
You have to be a know-it-all douche.
I definitely am fighting urge. There's an urge for me not to ruin it for them, but it's often overwhelmed by the urge to be right.
Oh, see, I don't have an urge to ruin it for them at all. I just have an urge for them to know when they find out I already knew, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I don't feel that way when I'm saying it, but the fact that I do that constantly must mean that subconsciously I want everyone to know that I was right about this.
My girlfriend's gotten better. The minute I open my mouth during watching anything that we haven't seen before, she's shut up. She turns to me. She's pointing at me. She's yelling at me. It's bad.
Well, and that's why I said be a douche. Not necessarily that you're ruining it for them, but just like you're ruining the watching experience for them, that they have to sit next to some know-it-all that says, great. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. For the record,
my wife had watched, it wasn't Lost, I think I said it on the show, on Dexter.
That's not the same record as me, for the record.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I want that filed separately.
Okay, no problem. Mine will go underneath D for Dexter. Yours will be in a different section.
Mine's an album.
Okay, understood. But when we were watching Dexter, my wife didn't watch Dexter with me. Like, the first episode she watched, she saw within 3 seconds, it was like a kind of like a middle episode, and she was able to figure out from watching that one episode who the ice truck killer was. So about 7 minutes into the first time for watching it, she announces who the ice truck killer is. And it's just like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it didn't ruin it for me. It was obvious who it was, but like, shut up. Yeah. Why do you got to ruin it? What does that do for you, you piece of garbage?
I did that too, and probably precisely the same moment that your wife did it, because it's so obvious when it happens. And I did. I looked over at my girlfriend and I said, that's him. And, you know, 4 episodes later, you find out that it was. And yeah, she was pissed. She was absolutely pissed. It was.
For the record, 30% of the time, I mean, 70% of the time, I'm wrong. When I say, or probably more like 90% of the time I'm wrong, when I say, oh, I know who did it. And really? A lot of times I'll get excited because we'll be watching like Law and Order, and I'll say, oh, I know who, I bet, and I'll say to myself, oh, I bet this person did it, and then I'll realize I saw it like twice already, and I'm patting myself on the back.
Law and Order is a bit of an exception because they're so predictable and formulaic that at this point, my girlfriend knows, like, right off the bat. Like, she'll know who the killer is the moment he like, walks into the scene. They're just ridiculously easy.
Well,
like, there's really no challenge in the Law and Order.
Basically, the way Law and Order works is somebody can't be – if it's too early in the show and they're going along that this person did it, then that person eventually is not going to have – unless there's a big circumstance surrounding the trial.
There's a couple of rules. If, like, at the moment, a small character, a somewhat benign character happens to roll into the scene and he's played by a relatively well-known actor, he's the bad guy. He's the killer. Like, you know already, because you've seen him before, that this actor is definitely playing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I saw – I don't know the guy's name, but – the actor that played the creepy dad in Happiness, I'm not sure of the guy's name. Okay, I think everyone knows that really ugly guy with the bad teeth. And
Chris? Chris from Best in Show?
Yes, that was him. And as soon as he walked in, it was an older episode, but I was like, this guy's still popular enough where he did it.
It's him.
Like, it's kind of, yeah, that is a bad giveaway. They shouldn't do that anymore. They should try to get, like, Tom Cruise to just be, like, an extra in a store just to throw everything off.
Keith, will you and Brian please write a scene to Law & Order? Just write a Law & Order scene.
A scene or a whole show?
Let's not be over, overzealous.
I think we should write a season.
Really just looking for that acting job, desperately. Yeah. Don't you just want anything that'll get you. Exactly. I have an idea for you guys.
Right.
When you are hit with this urge for these things that happen on the show, keep a little notebook at your side and jot down what it is, put the date and the time on it, write it right there, and close your little book. And granted, don't get me wrong, being the smug pieces of garbage that I know that both of you are, I know that both of your girlfriends will know, oh, great, he's pulling out his book, so he has some great idea that he came up with. And just write it down there. And then when your idea comes to fruition, you can say, see, I knew. On this date at this time. Awesome.
Sadly, I am guilty of that, and it is no less douchey than blaring it out right next to the person.
Pulling out the book is the worst.
It is.
Let me just grab my book here.
But the thing is, to be discreet about it, you don't have to say, it's pulling out your book and saying, ah, yes, now let me jot down a note in my book, is not the move, because that is just as douchey as saying, like, ah, I know. I'm saying, take a little book, write a little thing in it for yourself, and put it away.
Brian has a sealed envelope that after the whole thing is done, he does like the Johnny Carson thing.
Oh, Carnac?
Yeah.
Actually, he doesn't have to do that. He seals the he's about to seal the envelope, but then he has to actually get one of today's newspapers with the date on. I need to cut. Do we have any of today's newspapers here so I can cut something out? Just a little something.
Brian thinks he's Nostradamus for some reason.
It's not like magic. It's the fact is that you've seen so much of this crap and so much of it is so formulaic that you're just able to sort of you know the result of the formula. That's all. Not like you're a real smart guy. It's just you've watched 100 television shows. You know how it works.
The funny thing is, like, if I'm watching something.
By the way, Keith Fu points out a great idea when you pull out your book. Just tell people that you took up writing poetry. That's all you do. He says, "No, no, just jotting down a new poem."
This one's called "Who Did It?" Part 28. But if I'm watching something I've already seen, and there's like a big twist ending or something, I will keep my mouth shut through the whole thing. And I always people for some reason always say, "Will ask a question." And then they'll say something like, "Well, no, I don't care. Just tell me," which I thought is crazy. And then usually followed up with, "No, don't tell me." But I'll just be like completely stone faced on every question because that I don't want to give away at all. But when I'm watching it for the first time with them, it's like you said, I feel the need to let them know that
I've got to the point now that where we get to the moment in the show where I know what's going to happen.
And you yell out, "I knew it!"
I pause it.
Aha!
I grab the remote control and I pause it and I look at her and I say, "Do you want to know?"
No, you do not.
Wow, you are horrible.
You really pause it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you're a piece of crap.
Because she'll say no immediately, and then like she'll say, "Okay, well maybe," she'll start asking questions about it, and she gets angry most. The fact, not that I'm giving it away, but that I'm talking over stuff and she's missing things.
That
and
you're now pausing
she's
the movie.
No, I'm pausing it so she doesn't have to rewind and get all frustrated. But yeah, I wish I was a better person. Really, is what it comes right down
so
to.
So does she, Brian. So does she.
I can't control the urge of being a know-it-all.
Well, you know what's funny, Chris? You were talking about today just having no topics and doing no show prep for a while. And lately, I've just been coming up.
Is that what I said exactly? It makes me feel bad when you say it that way.
Sorry, summary's hurt. But lately I've been coming in with like some of my like topics that I'll have will be just like sometimes it's just like the name of a movie with no like no reference to why I want to talk about it or anything. And
Blue number 7,
and I end up like I end up tossing them away because it's just like that's not even a topic.
It's a code word just to you, but you forget the code, like what the code is.
No,
about?
It just never was that good to begin
okay.
with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like honestly,
so you put a lot of thought into your topics, is what you're saying.
I'll call this one.
You know what I'd call it? I'd call it someone calling on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Hello.
What was that?
What's up?
Who's? Oh, Zombie. How are you, sir?
It's not Zombie. It is Nugget.
It's the other
I'm sorry, not Zombie Nugget. I'm getting very confused. I see everyone's names in a room. Nugget, how are you, sir?
Good. You?
I'm outrageous. What can I help you with?
It's not every Bobby show, man, but Brian looks pretty good tonight.
Wow. That is an unexpected compliment coming from my favorite fan, Nugget Man.
Is it the shaved head?
He looks like a man now. Before, he looked like a little girl.
Yeah. Well, a backhanded compliment, I guess, is really about all I can hope for.
Well,
thank you. Thank you very much, Prince Nugget Man.
Yeah, no problem. And Chris, I like your CKY shirt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kill yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, Chris, kill yourself.
Right now, right on camera?
Yeah.
If this call doesn't end soon, yeah, I will.
So, anyways, I started my show, man. I've got my first episode done.
Yeah?
Congratulations. And what show is that? That would be the Nugget Man show? And where can this be heard?
Yeah, I'm working hard on it.
Cool, man. Where can we hear it? Where can we hear it?
Oh, you guys can hear it every Saturday night, 8 to 10.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just turn any radio on and it'll get it?
You have to go on to a certain site, but if you want, you can check out my website I made about, like, a month ago. It's called thenuggetmanshow.webs.com.
Nice.
You got it.
thenuggetmanshow.webs.com. Excellent.
Yep.
We'll be sure to check it out, my friend.
Do you take calls?
I take calls, yeah.
Oh, boy, you're in trouble.
Are you on AIM during the show, if you want to hit you up on AIM?
Yeah.
All right, Nugget Man. We'll have
It's obvious that you've mastered the art of radio, so I'm sure everyone's going to be checking out the show. Everything's fantastic.
I think it's a fine call.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's fantastic. What did I say?
Yeah.
I wish you all the best in your endeavors, and I'm going to be sure to tune into the next one at thenuggetmanshow.webs.com.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Nugget Man.
Excellent, buddy. Thank you.
Yep.
The Nugget Man shows. I think he's feeling kind of affirmative about things.
Yep. By the way, Zombie in the chat room is saying I'm insulted. My voice isn't that high.
Do you know what it was, man? I looked at his name and then heard the phone ring. And as I was looking at Zombie's name, which, by the way, I'm thrilled that Zombie's actually here for a show. He hasn't been here live for a show in a long time.
To be fair, I don't think we've heard his voice in years.
That's true. I think the last time we heard him was actually at our Labor Day show, like a year ago, give or take.
I was missing Nugget for a while. I mean, Zombie has been so far off of the radar now that it's like...
Well, Zombies, you can't get Zombies on radar. They get it. So, right next...
I'd like to see both of them.
So, I have these topics that are just like... I have one that says overrated movies, and I'm tired of hearing about them. And that's actually somewhere I could go. But my point with this is I was wondering what's been different over the last, like, month or so that I can't. And I think the fact that I don't leave the house anymore has dried up on anything to talk about. Like, I stay home and I don't really do anything. I walk to the store. Nothing really happens. And not that, like, anything exciting would happen around me, but for some reason, I feel like my brain is drying up not leaving the house.
I'm thinking you're a hotbed of activity. I'm thinking wherever you are is the place to be, without question.
Well, I can understand exactly where you're coming from. I, too, in my recent, or maybe not so recent, unemployment, have been struggling with coming up with enough valid things to talk about at least once a week.
You can't manage to not vomit on a microphone one day, right?
Whenever I'm here, I'm drinking tons of this Coca-Cola to try to keep me.
I try to.
Thanks, Dad. I, too, struggle with coming up with valid topics. And, I mean, I no longer am spending time on the subways, so I'm not around people enough for them to annoy me. And I stay inside all the
time. So Brian's train tales are about a show on the History Channel about trains that you saw.
It's basically, they kind of have become reduced to just things that I'm thinking about. Just stupid little philosophies that I come up with. And I find out that I'm coming up with less and less of them. Well, that's not thinking nearly as much as I used to.
That's why my topics have been so loaded with movies and TV lately, because that's what I'm doing, like watching TV.
You guys should start doing drugs again or something, just to make you guys more entertaining or to spice your lives up.
That's a great idea.
So then my topic every week will be, I don't feel good.
We're not making it to the show.
I'm really paranoid a lot now. I don't know what it is.
I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to hear that, Chris?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. I'm really sick today. I'm vomiting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be a fine topic to go through.
Calling in high. Sorry, I couldn't make the show. I'm loaded.
So what have you been doing now? How have you been? How have you been getting topics to the show?
I haven't.
Just been making stuff up.
I sit and it's not like things would happen, because I would sit and like try to.
Can I exercise an opinion here? If you guys don't mind.
Boy.
I'm gonna pull the curtain back just a little bit. About a month or so ago, control of the show of which topic is going where was placed firmly in Keith's lap, which made it that Keith had no one to quote unquote report to. So I think that has a lot to do with why his topic list has dried up in a hotel. Because as well, granted, his inspiration is gone, but he's also got no one that's going to like bust his balls if he doesn't do it either. That. So I see that as being connected.
And I thought of that, but it's not.
But
really
quickly
that.
Forced it out of my mind.
But Keith, you can now write just down the word blue and not have to explain it to anybody.
Exactly. Could Nugget Man do your topics? Could you report to Nugget Man every week with your topics, and he'll report to us? Whether if they're substantial or not.
By the way, Kara is saying in the Pal Talk room that has no idea how she has no idea how we could come up with things every week to talk about. To be quite honest, I don't know. And with no impetus, you know, nothing in your life, no sort of stimulation, like bringing it out there outside of your PlayStation 3 and your cable box, I could understand that it would be way more difficult than usual.
The majority of it used to come up at work. I would be at work and I would be writing things down, you know what I mean? And it wouldn't have anything to do with what was going on at work. But for some reason, it's just, and I've sat and tried. I've sat there. I said, all right, I'm going to devote this next hour. And I just sit there and I just feel like an idiot with just like nothing's. So I'm trying to figure out, if anything, the fact that I have no one to report to has been, hasn't been the cause, but it's definitely been a nice factor in there that, you know, like, because everything I've had is just so weak that, you know, I have no one to be embarrassed by. But I mean, it shows through, you know what I mean? The week that
you don't think everyone could relate to. Oh man, I showered that one time this week. It was so weird.
That was honestly saying that I have the urge to not shower. That was one of the best things.
Do you ever watch that swirl of dirt in the bottom of the shower when you hit it for the first time in the month? Oh, it's so weird,
dude. It's the worst type of writer's block with like this particular situation, because at the very least, if you're doing anything kind of creatively or doing something like writing a book or story or that kind of garbage, you can just vomit anything onto a page and sort of like edit it and make it kind of work. The kind of things that we talk about here have to be sort of rooted in some sort of reality and something that everyone else can relate to. So the minute I start going with my weird freaking, you know, I'd love to set children on fire daydreams, it just like falls under because
those are the things that we want to hear. Those are the things that are better. Which, by the way, I don't know that everyone agrees with you, because Fred's brother Chaz the Dazzle saying in the chat room, you guys weak topics, shocker. You know, so I don't know that that you should be all that concerned. And by the way, anytime you want to talk about burning children, I think it'd be fantastic for the show.
Well, that's what I mean, is that it turns into just this, like, no one's really going to respond to that. It's just stupid stuff that's spilling out of your brain. You know, it's a monologue.
And for the record, by the way, since I already called this one out, that overrated movies topic, it was overrated movies tired of hearing about them. Reservoir Dogs, Natural Born Killers. So I just changed that to I hate Quentin Tarantino.
Wait, so you're honestly, your timely topic was movies that were released 15 years ago, basically? That's what we're talking about?
That might have spawned a conversation as well, because I disagree wholeheartedly with Reservoir Dogs. I've watched it countless times,
does.
And I recently rented it on Blu-ray just to see the Blu-ray version of it, and I watched it twice before I sent it in.
I think they're both terrific films.
I also like Natural Born Killers.
I enjoyed both of them. I think Natural Born Killers is a little bit over the top, but it's done intentionally over the top, and I think it's fine. I think they're both terrific films.
And to be fair, even Tarantino hated Natural Born Killers.
So. That's because he didn't make it. I know he wrote it, but
I think Keith is in 100K's topic list. This is not even his.
Exactly,
this is not even his topic list.
Exactly,
this is 100K's topic list. You didn't even take your own.
Awesome. Well, I'll look at. I just caught Fred's first picture of the day, apparently he's graduated from drawing pictures of balls back to drawing the full genitalia again. So I see full shaft and head.
Right. Hey, I wish you hadn't said that. That was my topic for Monday.
Oh, awesome! But I'm glad to see it's
back.
Well,
he's progressing. He's an artist, and he's, you know, you can't just stagnate in.
Oh wow! Look at that one. One of them actually looks like a penis man. This is some good stuff. That's some art. I've been putting a lot of my art online to describe shows. I think maybe we should get some of your penis art out there there too, so people could enjoy it. Penis and balls and all that great, terrific stuff.
I saw your art from last week.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it was good. I'm spending.
I think my artistic skills is really coming into its own. I think artistic? I have to. Yeah, that's what. Right. Same difference. It looks the same anyway. I think I actually have to start upgrading my supplies. I don't think my little I don't know what you would call the paints that where you drop the water in. It's not really a palette, but the little dry paints that you drop water in. I don't know that that's actually. I don't know if it's up to my standards. I'm going to start stretching canvases, I think, and actually start working in oils.
And you need various brushes too. You need like a fan brush. You know, you only have that like Crayola, just a round brush.
Crayola. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Oh, you're laughing. This legitimately is a Crayola paint kit.
Yeah.
Do you think I was going to invest money in this thing? Come on.
That doesn't make it any less. I mean, it's paint. You know, it's not. It's not.
I only have
the
four
materials
colors.
That you're using. It's what you're doing with the materials.
Yeah, I know, but they tend to drip because I put too much water on them because I'm not a skilled artist. So it basically looks like I finger paint.
If you were a gifted artist, you could finger paint something. Have you ever looked at any Jackson Pollock? He painted with a spoon.
Excuse me. If I were a gifted
artist?
I don't know if you've seen any of my artwork. If you went over to Radio Bronze Fans, which is that fancy forum that everyone seems to love for all the programs here on Hear Us Talk, that being the DJ New Style Show, The Awful Hour, and Best in Show, you can go over there and see them. I've been posting my art up there in the Best in Show section. It's really, really terrific. It's really terrific stuff. It's an awesome, awesome little treat.
If you don't say so yourself.
No.
It's very, very modest of you to say how genius your art is.
I was really talking about the forum being genius, but thanks. I agree with you on that point.
Not looking to start a big art fight, but Jackson Pollock, you own. That's all I have to say.
Well,
first Tarantino, now Pollock.
Talking about art fights, I was actually at a party this weekend, and it was a party with I would call artists there, you know, people who dabble in the arts. And the conversation got to...
you mean art school graduates?
Yeah, got to, like, higher art. And what are the higher arts?
People who dabble in the black arts.
Like, you know, people were saying, like, the higher arts are, you know,
not
writing, painting, and music. And there were, like, photographers there. And there was this one guy, these two guys, one photographer and one writer, to get into an argument saying, like, the writer was saying, hey, I could take a camera... And I could go shoot. I could shoot anything, and it could be just as good as you. It's just a chance thing. You can't
not true.
Get a blank piece of paper and write a novel just with your own mind.
Also
you know what
not
I mean?
True.
You don't think so?
I think that it's very hard to come up with a good photograph. I don't think I think not even half of it is the subject or the actual taking of the photograph. I think more of making a good photograph is how it's produced in the black room, like the stuff that they decide to edit out of it, the way that they decide to develop it, the amount of there's so much more into just holding a camera and taking a good photograph. It, to making like,
bro, lighting. The lighting is like 99% of it.
And these days with like computers and Photoshops, like, I mean, even that isn't the actual real darkroom development is nothing compared to what people are doing with it on the computer. The post-production aspect of it is really where like the true artist can kind of come out and make a piece. And I believe anyone can write.
Mm-hmm. You believe anyone can write?
Yes, I believe that.
That is no
a lot of first-time writers who had no sort of literary education, and not even like heavy readers, have come off the block with like great pieces of work.
You don't believe in the concept of a prodigy, though, of someone that actually is just naturally gifted at something, whether they had any formal education in it, or whether they've had any training in it, or whether they're just naturally good at it?
I don't believe you're naturally good at anything. I believe that.
Allow me to point something out, Brian. I've never been trained as a painter. Right. This is like there are people that just have gifts and things just happen.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that maybe you didn't receive the education and maybe you didn't like go out and get the piece of paper to say you qualify now as a professional art student. But you've been exposed clearly to enough art out there, whether it was on purpose or in passing. And just knowing your eye has been trained to see what is good and what is bad, and you've had these conversations, whether or not you were educated, you know how to make it. The quality of art that you're able to do, and that's what makes you gifted. I don't think it's a natural thing. It's as a direct result of the interest that you've taken into it and the amount of exposure you've had.
I will agree with you that my interest has my interest in this has everything to do with how advanced
precisely
my skill is.
My
I
point.
Agree.
Is there a new character on Lost called the robot Swami Frankenstein?
I don't even understand what you guys are talking about. Can we continue with the show, please?
Sorry. So, Brian, you don't believe in the higher arts? Do you think that there are some arts that are you need more skill for? Or you just believe anybody could do anything?
Well, the theory that you're saying is that there's some mediums of art that are essentially more important than other mediums of art.
Or take more skill to do.
Like, it's harder to write than it is to take a photograph. I think it's probably I think yes, it can take a longer time to write a novel, for example, as it would be to take a photograph. But the equivalent of the novel is probably not a single photograph. It's going to be like an entire presentation, or a theme, or like a something in that they're putting in a museum piece that has like 20 or 30 different photographs. It could be argued that they take equal amounts of time, but no, I think to make good ones of each, it could be a lot harder to write to make that really good museum quality, photographic Mapplethorpe stuff, than it would be to have someone sit down and write a science fiction novel and like puke it out in 2 days. Yeah.
How about the dynamic between like director and actor? You think directing is a higher art than acting?
Let me respond this way. In movies, in film, I think it's probably the artist's medium. The artist in that context is probably the director, because he's the one who's not only putting together the performance of that single actor.
Even Fred, you even said it yourself that as an actor, it's hard to really express yourself as an artist a lot, because a lot of it relies on what you're given to work with.
Sure, but there's been actors that made movies that had a crappy director, and just because this actor was in it, made the movie good.
I don't know. Like I'd be hard pressed.
I'd like you to name one movie that was bad but made by an actor. And it's possible. It's possible. I would like you to name one, because I couldn't think of any off the top of my head. And that goes out to any of you. If any of you out there have an idea of what movie was made by an actor as opposed to done by that, you feel free to join us here on the show, 877-744-6405. And, just be part of the magic. The fantasy cavalcade, if you will. The Wednesday night miracle this week.
A couple of examples, probably. The first thing that popped into mind is most of the horrible movies that had Bill Murray in it. Things like Ghostbusters or Caddyshack.
You think Ghostbusters was a horrible movie?
Yes, I think Ghostbusters, the way it was filmed, even the writing behind it, which granted was done by like Aykroyd and the other guy, and the direction behind it probably was pretty subpar. I mean, when you think about it, the story itself is not really all that intriguing and interesting. It is a brilliant work of art, probably mostly because of Bill Murray's performance. Mm-hmm. Like having him being a part of that and having him on screen saved it. It made it from a stupid B movie to like an important piece of American cinema. Mm-hmm. And like the same could be said about like Groundhog's Day, which also is Bill Murray's just a great actor. He can make bad stuff great.
But it could be said by a great director. You could get crappy actors and a great director, and you have a damn good film. Anything Scorsese does is going to be
because he did New York, New York with some brilliant actors, and it's garbage.
Yeah.
If you watch that movie, it's an awful movie.
By the way, Steve the LARPer is saying in the chat that he loves Bill Murray, but Egon's what made the Ghostbusters films.
I thought Annie Potts is what made Ghostbusters.
And more importantly, our buddy White Ass Brent is saying that Stan, aka the MC Kung Fu from City Dragon, is the person that did a kick-ass job that made City Dragon. Literally. By the way, if you guys didn't hear last night's episode of the DJ New Style Show, MC Kung Fu from City Dragon was interviewed by our buddies New Style and Germ Freak, and it was a fantastic, fantastic thing. If you have not heard it yet, head over to the DJ New Style Show. DJNewStyleShow.com and download it and just check it out. It's amazing.
But to respond to your point directly, Fred, I think if you look at film, that's the person wielding the paintbrush is probably the director for the most part. And sure, maybe there's exceptions like a Bill Murray, movie or something. Mm-hmm. But for a large part, if you look at stage acting, if you look at plays and those kind of productions, that's sort of more – that could be more the writer – That could be more the writer's sort of painter, or that even the actor, especially if it's like a single stage piece. Like if you just got one guy up on a stage acting through it, who cares how good the director is? The writer could be crap, and that guy could push it right through, and mm-hmm. that's his art.
Did it get heated? Did the
Oh, totally, because they're each defending their own art, and it got so heated. These two guys were just like,
Was the photographer saying that writing isn't an art? Like, was it like mine is, yours isn't, or was one guy just defending his own?
Well, he was more defending his own. He wasn't saying anything bad about the writing. He was just defending his own art, saying that, you know, taking a good picture is just as hard as writing a great novel.
Let me ask you something. There was a Depeche Mode documentary, and
Oh, we're talking art?
Art, exactly. Higher art. Since we were talking about higher art anyway.
Depeche Mode.
There's a side story in it with like these fans traveling to see them on the bus, and these kids are arguing, and one is telling the girl that fashion is not an art form.
Ooh.
So let me know what you think about that. I've had a strong opinion on it ever since I've seen it.
I personally think that fashion can be art.
I think talk about starting something from scratch and designing something, and I mean it's I don't see how it's not. How you could say it's not. I understand if you well, I'll let you answer since I asked you.
I think it's art, of course, definitely. What about like a cover band? Do you think a cover band is art?
No.
To see a cover band? No,
absolutely not.
Not even if they do a great job.
Nope, they're impersonators. An Elvis impersonator is not an artist to me. And a band covering, you know, going to see the Crystal Ship and watch them do Doors covers, or watching the soft parade, or
the Machine.
The Machine. I couldn't think what the Pink Floyd one was. Yeah, do this. Although
Electric Funeral.
Although I will say that the Machine does they actually also do the Peanuts theme song too. So they do one thing that's not. Oh, wait, that's another cover. So it's still not.
But they're artists.
No, man. I mean, it could be argued that there's exceptions.
They're talented. I'm not saying they're not talented. I don't think that what they're doing in that. And you know what? They may be artists in their own right, but in reproducing someone else's stuff, I don't know that I could say that an art.
So if the guitarist for the Machine busts off into
I hate busting off.
Busts off.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna bust off in this chick.
Well, wait a minute. Busts off into a guitar solo. That's nothing like the original. That has nothing to do with the original song. Is he then creating art in the middle of this impersonation?
It's a fine line. I don't know. I don't know if I consider him an artist because of that. I mean, he's talented, but that's fine. What do you got, Brian?
I think, you know, generally speaking, cover bands are probably not going to be the best example of where you're going to go look to find, quote, high art. Or certainly in the musical world, you're going to want to look for someone who's doing something different as opposed to simply covering people's stuff over and over again. But there's that. The first band that pops into my head is that one band. I can't remember what they're called, but they do the Beatles covers. And they take like the whole album and they'll reproduce like Sgt. Pepper's live on stage, which the Beatles couldn't do. Like, you can't do that because of all the stuff and all
the Fab Four.
I think that might be them, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Totally. And if you've ever like even seen videotape or just listened to the results of what they're doing, it's hard not to call them artists. I mean, there are pretty impressive amounts of work that they're doing that even the Beatles couldn't do.
But that's more like a skilled worksman more than it is an artist. I don't consider it the same thing. Art to me,
maybe.
The idea of the interpretation of art is it's a natural creative process. I don't feel like you're necessarily creating when you're really just reworking someone else's stuff. I'm not saying that they're not taking some sort of, I guess, what is called artistic license with the material. So in that, you're saying that there's art.
They
there.
Had to create a way to be able to mimic all of the overdubbing that Phil Spector.
I am not downplaying the work involved. I'm not downplaying the talent of the skilled worksman. But I don't know that it's art. Art to me implies creativity.
Well, in that case, fashion in your case, it really wouldn't be art because people already have shirts. They're redoing like an old type of thing.
Good point.
Like a shoemaker, you know, there's been shoes around for thousands of years.
Good point. Yeah, until a shirt is something new to it. Like if it's hypercolor, like if they did something like that, or if they put the iron on like on the side instead of the front, that's art.
I don't think that's right, because that would be saying that no musician is an artist because we're using the same
The guy who built the guitar is the only artist ever in the history of the world.
How about
to your point, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. How about the caricature guy that paints your like picture, like when you're walking by, that puts you on a big like your big head and
he's
then a small body.
Something.
I don't know.
He's totally an artist. Come on.
I don't know if I can say. I mean, granted,
it's high art. But.
I don't really know that I would consider it art if it's being sold in a kiosk in a mall. But maybe it is. I don't know.
But isn't high art just basically something that certain circles decide is the same as like the reason that a shirt from or like a handbag from Sears and a handbag from Louis Vuitton, you know, one is deluxe fashion.
Bro, it's Louis Vuitton, all right?
Oh, is it really?
No. Louis.
Oh. Not at all.
It's Louis?
No. I think the suggestion behind high art is that it's art that is recognized worldwide and consumed by a larger population as art, like opera or, you know, classical music or, literature or literary novels as opposed
to... Right, it's literature, if you want to pronounce it correctly.
And I'm just saying not books. I mean, there's a specific type of literature that would be considered art. And, I mean, people like... who's that? the writer that I'm wild about, whose name?
James Joyce.
Kurt Vonnegut.
He's a science fiction writer, but psychedelic.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Philip K. Dick struggled for most of his career and wasn't recognized as like a true writer until after he died and people started reading it with like a philosophical bend. A lot of his stuff was recognized as garbage for most of his career.
Quickly, let me throw in another one of my topics. I began reading a Philip K. Dick book today.
Congratulations. Congratulations on it.
Which one? I'm curious, which one?
It's called Ubik, I think.
I gotta be honest, I've never heard the term high art until tonight's show.
Really?
Just so you know, I've never heard
that
terminology.
High art.
Well, you're a high fidelity.
Al Sheedy movie.
Chris, you're a low class guy.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm a piece of garbage. Why would I know from any of this stuff? High. You've heard the term high art. I understand. I've seen you at your 30 something parties with your friends, so I know high art is a regular part of your life.
I can't believe that someone hasn't heard that term before.
Yeah, me neither.
I've never heard of it worded that way as high art. I've heard art referred to as highbrow, but I've never heard of something referred to as high art.
Yeah.
And again, I've told you I'm not classically trained in my art. It's just a raw natural gift that I have.
High art is something that high end people enjoy. Yeah. So if that helps you,
it's art that
highfalutin people, if you will.
It's art that you make when you're high.
Obviously, is there any art that's made of unhigh?
But I don't believe that there's high art. High art. I really don't. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And for the record, as far as anyone can write, I think anyone can write something that there are at least 10 to 15 people in the world that would pick it up not knowing you and read it and enjoy it. Now, granted, doesn't mean other people aren't better than others, but I think...
Really? You really could say that's pretty bold. Well, 10 to 15 people isn't all that much.
That's what I'm saying. But I think there's 10 to 15 strangers that will read something that anyone has written and think it's good.
I mean, outside of like the formula of writing, and depending on if you're doing a screenplay or you're doing an action book or something, there really are rigid formulas that if you want to write a successful piece of work that people will read, you can write. But
Did you say 10 to 15, by the way, because there are exactly 15 people in the Pal Talk room paying attention right now? You think we've managed to convince 10 to 15 people that we're doing something called art right now? Nice work. Nice work.
But outside of that, with writing, you just basically have to have good ideas, and you have to be able to put those good ideas and communicate them in an interesting or even not even interesting. It could just be a clear way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the art part of it is having the ideas, and then there's just a craft that you get from writing, just nothing over and over again, and being able to formulate sentences or reading.
Definite difference of opinion there. Difference of opinion.
Two parts is what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. Definite difference of opinion. Just the mechanical part of it. I don't know if that has anything to do with the art.
The mechanical part of it will get better typically with more and more use, like a bad artist, a person who doesn't have good ideas, may become a good writer just by simply writing over and over again or being trained with proper grammar.
I don't know that I agree with that.
So a bad comic can become better if, you know.
I don't know. I think comic
There are DAT fans out there that study and work their trade, and then they wind up winning the last comic standing. So you never know.
Well, I mean, George Carlin
and
is
fall
a perfect
into obscurity.
But George Carlin's a perfect example of that, because he kind of had a handful of great ideas, and he just kept hammering them over and over. But his delivery was pitch perfect. Mm-hmm. Like everything was, he was able to deliver everything word by word without kind of stuttering or kind of. He was a genius like mechanist.
Bryce, sports and art form.
Yeah, I suppose it can be. It's not one that I appreciate.
I think he just said that because he saw Keith's hand ball up like he was about to punch him as soon as the question was asked.
I was going
to
say, I Want a New Drug is on that album. Come on. Sports is a great record.
It's really true. It's definitely true. Excellent. You're listening to High Art here, by the way. High Art of Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with you is the place to be. You want to be a part? You can. 877-744-6405. I don't believe we're on Skype tonight because of technical issues or whatever. We're in Pal Talk in the Heroes Talk radio room. And, you know, just at HeroesTalk.com. It's a magic little thing. This whole thing started, I guess, from Keith talking about his topic list and things on his topic list. At the top of my topic list, I have the shortest topic that is something that I teased about a week ago that I wanted to do here on the show and we never talked about. And there's no payoff to it other than the fact that, I finally, brought something in that I said I was going to bring in. And I brought in the two new delicious, delightful flavors of Doritos for you guys to try. The Doritos Late Night brand with the neon lights. They're very exciting. So please feel free to enjoy some Last Call Jalapeno Popper.
I was in 7-Eleven on the way here, and the other one would be
Late Night Tacos at Midnight. So, gentlemen, please feel free to enjoy
them. I literally just threw up in my mouth. I mean, before this bit started, I threw up in my mouth.
That's why
I could do this.
That's why you got up and went away from the table. Well, yeah. This isn't, I mean, there's no stunt to it. There's no, hey, you're going to eat them until you throw up. Dude, who could eat them the fastest? Do six lines of Doritos. It's nothing like that. It's just, hey, the Doritos are here. I said I was bringing them in. It's a disgusting marketing scheme that they don't look good.
Late Night Ashtray Pizza.
If anyone could see these, it has like this neon light. A neon light on these Doritos. It looks like a stripper joint. I wish they had a pole right here going in between the Doritos. A pole. Like it looked like the Doritos were like stripping at like a strip club.
I would definitely get Doritos stripper crotch. That is my new favorite flavor of all time.
What would they taste like?
Like regular Doritos.
Urinal stench Doritos. The taco are, you don't need to hand them to me because I've eaten tons of them. The midnight taco are absolutely outstanding.
I'm going for this. It has a great nose. Smell it.
Well, excellent bouquet.
Yes.
Wow, this really is a high art show. We're really excellent bouquet.
Look how I'm holding the bag with my pinky.
You got your pinkies out. Look at that. You really are.
I do like the regular taco flavored Doritos. Like they sell them in explosions, so they mix taco with like cream cheese.
Well, here's the issue with that. Taco Doritos were my favorite of all time. Yeah. They were the best. Then they disappeared for years. They came back when they did Doritos 3D, which were like puffed Doritos, and then they disappeared again. And they recently came back with the explosions where they mixed flavors together.
The one that they mix it with is garbage.
It's taco and ranch.
The ranch is awful. That's what makes me not want to buy those.
I agree. This is not the same flavor as the other taco. Right. This is a little bit more tomato-y.
You know what these taste
something
like?
Something nice to it.
These taste like the
Doritos?
Well, they taste like not only that, but they taste like
please don't do that.
They taste like the taco, like when you buy like those little packets of like taco sauce to mix in with some kind of meat.
Totally.
To put in the taco, that's what they taste like.
I could taste the lettuce in these.
Like the powdered things.
I didn't taste the lettuce, but I did taste the tomato. I tasted the tomato in it, absolutely.
I taste meat.
There is no meat in it. I did investigate because when we talked about it last time, I was like, holy crap, maybe there's like meat seasoning in it. There's meat seasoning in it, but there's not. Yeah, so that was it. That was my big short topic that I just needed to get out there, these delightful Doritos.
I could have used that topic. Can you let me bring them this week?
Sure. Yeah, take these bags home and bring them.
Wait, I have a new topic, everybody. Chris brought in some taco-flavored Doritos.
Well, I think Keith actually hit it on the head because it looks like they took Doritos without any kind of flavoring on it, and they dusted it with the taco flavoring that you get when you buy like a taco kit from the store, which they give you like five hard shells and a little kind of the taco
powdery stuff powder that's supposed to mix with water and the chopped meat.
I think the chopped meat. If you just took that dust and dumped it on this thing, that's what it would be. It's perfect.
Keith is either very upset or unbelievably excited at what happened at Last Call Jalapeno Popper.
I don't even think I can finish this.
Oh, you hate it?
It's hot.
I never thought that any sort of a like mainstream potato chip or chip would be as hot and spicy as this thing.
Yeah, you are absolutely insane. The jalapeno poppers are nothing. You had fiery habanero chips that were 10 times hotter than this.
Then I must have been not eating a lot
drunk
of spicy
high.
Things lately.
You were employed.
Yeah.
That's how it was.
Oh, you know what bothers me about this?
The jalapeno poppers don't taste like jalapeno poppers, though.
The thing that bothers me about it is it's the, I don't know if it's sour cream or cream cheese that's usually with the jalapeno poppers, that like soft white moist crap in there. That they're mimicking that flavor is overwhelming the jalapenos.
It's not that bad.
It's jalapeno snot is what it is. It tastes bad.
It's not terrific. I'm a big fan of the taco, though, and I'm excited. Like I said last week, I'm a marketing – I give into the marketing all the time, and I love it. And I'll love it for 10 minutes that they exist here, and then they're going to come up with a new flavor and do stuff like that all the time.
They are hot.
They're not that
You guys
hot.
Are
really
honestly
aren't.
The two biggest pussies I've ever seen in my entire life. You like hot foods, I
know, but I wasn't expecting it from like a chip.
I know what the problem is.
Even though it's
the problem is Doritos get stuck in your teeth, so it just stays in there, you know, like, and you just keep on.
They're both delicious, I'll have to say. Love them. I like the taco better.
The taco is fantastic.
The jalapeno is making me retch a little. Either that or
it's all right. It's all right.
It's just being here.
Awesome.
Well, here's a shout out. Here's a little shout out to Doritos.
Oh,
because
nice.
We love Doritos.
These Doritos are amazing. I cannot stop eating.
Bro, try one.
Yeah, I'll try one. Hey, slow down. Bro, I'm choking. Are you okay? I don't know the kind of
Thank God you don't know the Heimlich. Doritos.
That was weird. I totally forgot about that commercial. That's the one that
we got
won,
sponsorship.
That one, that Dorito commercial, that's the one that won the Super Bowl commercial, right? That was the best advertisement that they came up with.
No, it was the actually commercials that didn't make it.
Yeah, that
oh
was
right,
never
that's
made
I knew all. I couldn't remember what it was. I knew it was something.
Might have been a little too edgy for the Doritos company. Who owns Doritos? Pepsi?
Frito-Lay.
Oh, Frito-Lay. Okay.
Frito-Lay company. Or maybe not. Dorito, Frito-Lay. I think so.
Must say.
Frito-Lay.
Let's just guess instead of looking at the bags 3 inches away from us. It's much makes a lot more sense.
It is, in fact, Frito-Lay. Very good. Very good guess, Chris.
Guess? No. I've known it. Because I know that Fritos
you're gifted,
don't taste like Doritos.
Skilled artist.
I'm an artist. I'm a Doritos artist. Maybe that's my
you're
new
food
medium.
Artist.
Maybe
food
I will art. Start painting with Dorito dust on my fingers. Like, and I'll finger paint with Dorito dust.
Honestly, like, food art is probably your art. Like, I'm sure one time in your life you've considered like going to culinary school and becoming a chef or something.
I have.
Because I see you when you're cooking, particularly
it's
for
really
like large part. Yeah. Your eyes light up and your blinders go on. Like your wife could be on fire and you're like, I gotta cook these ribs. You know, you are definitely very excited about what you're cooking.
It depends what part of her is on fire and how severe the burns are at that point. For the record, if you are to mix the words food and art, it doesn't sound pleasant. So I'll never refer to myself as a food artist because that would be a fartist. And I think that's a little bit
silly. How about high food art?
Okay, a high fart? No problem.
Highfalutin food art.
There we go. I'll go with some of that. Yeah.
I mean, there are professional taste testers that like have their like
ooh,
taste buds like insured for millions of dollars because
they have such a finely tuned taste buds. Nah.
I can see you being one of those people.
I don't imagine all the crap
you'd have to eat.
That's definitely true. But as much as I'm joking around about my painting and whatnot, I actually do really enjoy cooking. I really do. I do get a good charge out of it. What a surprise! A fat guy likes to do something with food. Weird.
But like trying new stuff, like you definitely have you have a preferred way that every one of the dishes that you like, you know, should be cooked. But then you'll throw a little twist into it. You'll give it a shot and like you'll judge right there whether it's good or not and try to like compensate with something else.
Absolutely. I'm an artist.
Do you think you're like organized enough that you could like develop recipes and things? Like
I do
be
all
a little
the time.
Scientific about it? Like have the number of ingredients and be able to sort of produce it.
I've done
and
it
share
all the time.
The
I've done it a million times. Right. And by a million like three. I've come up with three recipes. I do slight exaggeration sometimes with numbers, just like our buddy Pickle from the Awful Hour. If you guys haven't checked out the Awful Hour, be sure tomorrow night to be here in the Heroes Talk Radio Room in Pal Talk or at HeroesTalk.com to check out the Awful Hour. Good stuff.
I can tell you one of Chris's cooking techniques from years back. I remember him leaving the bacon grease in the pot. Like, not overnight, just like, you know, cooking bacon, and then the next day the grease still being
oh,
in
the next
there.
Day? Oh, boy.
And then frying hot dogs in it.
Oh.
Bacon grease is good, but I don't know about saving it for a day. Man.
It was still liquid.
Oh. You just heat it up. If it's not liquid, you heat it right up and it comes right back up. By the way, it's being pointed out to me by our buddy DJ Newstyle, which I totally forgot. The Awful Hour will also be on immediately after this program. So it's going to be on tomorrow night and tonight. Awful Hour, a double shot.
High art.
Yeah, it's definitely high art. It's a great show.
Radio art.
But with most chefs, they like to see other people enjoy the food. Like with Chris, he enjoys it. There's no room for anybody else.
Sure.
So he's eating. Everything that he cooks.
I'm sure every chef in every kitchen, whenever they're making a dish, even if they know that exactly how it tastes, they're dabbling in it. If I'm cooking, I'm eating most of it. Like, I'm probably not eating anything at the table. I'm taking a little bit in myself.
Being the world's worst vegetarian, in the fact that I am
you eat steak.
Well, that I eat fish. But in addition to that, I stopped with the meat for the most part because not for the most part. I stopped with the meat because I feel bad for the animals is the main reason I do it. But I still cook meats for my wife and daughter when they want it.
How do you not eat when you're cooking?
And I do not do anything at all. What I did apparently last week, the thing that I came up with, the seasoning, the sauce that I came up with, not seasoning, the breading I came up with for chicken fried steak last week, apparently was the most amazing thing I've ever done, and I have no idea what it tasted like.
Well, can't you redo that and just find something to put it on?
Chicken and steak are both meats.
But,
I don't know.
But you can get like seitan, that soy.
I actually make my own seitan.
Put the breading on that.
Just because you call it chicken fried doesn't mean that you're actually killing a chicken to do it. I mean, you're frying the steak in the method that you would fry chicken.
I'm aware, Brian. I was making a joke. This is a comedy program. If you couldn't figure it out,
I don't know. Sometimes, man.
It was meant as a joke. It was meant as a joke. Yes, I'm the guy who's cooking it. I know that it's not a chicken being used.
So, Chris, you make these awesome like marinades and stuff, but you'll taste the marinade and know what's going to be on a piece of meat, but you won't taste the final product. But you know the marinade.
This breading for the chicken fried steak, I did not even touch it.
Didn't even taste it.
It was all science in my head that I knew what I was doing. Science. And my wife lost her mind. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe you did this. And I changed it from what I used to do. So I just have to suppose what it tastes like.
That must make you angry.
I wanted to try it. And the gravy that I make, of course, with it, the white gravy is, of course, a sausage gravy, so I couldn't try that either.
Can't you do, like, bread? Like, when we do fried chicken cutlets, you make the bread patty, the leftover.
I do that. But I don't do it with the same thing that I dip the chicken in, but I do make bread. I'm glad that I'm not the only person in the world that makes bread out of reassembling bread crumbs with eggs.
Yeah, the bread patty.
We just called it bread. You want a piece of bread? Yeah. Some people actually have loaves of bread. We just take bread crumbs and reassemble it, and then it
bread
becomes
thing.
Well, if the bag of bread is old, you just leave it for a few days, and then new bread is in there in a few days. That's a trick I learned.
Wow. Wait, but you don't live with mom anymore, so does it still happen anymore?
Well, I don't have the bread in the first place, but okay. I know it would work.
If you had that bag there?
Definitely.
If you had that bag there. Awesome.
So speaking of food, I got to tell you, my allergies have been going nuts these days. How'd you like that segue? Is that nice?
No. I don't like the word segue, first of all.
Right?
And I don't like you taking Chris's bit.
I love it. I think it's terrific.
Starting sometime around Friday, which it happened actually while I was at work, one of those weird days that I actually had work to do. I was in the office, and as I've said previously on shows before, I think I'm starting to get allergic to work because I busted out with like the 28 days later fear virus or rage virus one day while I was
hives and whatnot when you were crawling through corners where they store the dead bodies at the office and you apparently have an allergic reaction to it.
Yeah, like I had Freddy Krueger neck and my eyes got all like bloodshot and red and like I started seeing it on my face and everything itched. Well, in preparation for that event, I brought some allergy medication with me to the office in this time. And sure enough, as it started to happen, I stepped away. I went and started like showering myself down. I popped the allergy medication, sat down for like 15 minutes, and it was okay. Of course, like any allergy medication that I take that does anything is the stuff with the antihistamines, and it just makes me really high. Like, I don't know if...
So instead of actually breaking out in a rash, you got the munchies and sat in a corner just so they started chilling out.
Dizzy.
The dark side of the moon.
I'm like all dizzy and kind of like a little nauseous, and, you know, and as the allergy symptoms are fading away, this like kind of bizarre, the world is folding in on itself. Things are starting to happen. And, you know, I think I'm okay, and it's a rare occasion that I make it into the office now, so me and, you know, a couple the buddies at the office go out for a couple drinks, and of course that turns into, like, you know, a too many drinks too late at night, and I'm sick, you know. And that day when I go home, that night when I get home, allergies start happening, and I can't sleep that night because basically for the last like 4 or 5 days, I've just been like a sneezing, snotting mess. Like my eyes are constantly itching. I have to wake up every 2 hours and go like pound a glass of water to try to like keep my eyes from itching.
Do you have that choking in your sleep? Because honestly, I think that's one of the worst things you could ever experience is that waking up choking feeling and like needing to cough.
I'm going to say choking whether you're sleeping or awake, not fun.
I don't mean choking, actually dying, but like choking on something in your throat and then like you know
as
it's going
to
happen.
As opposed to in your arm. I choke on things in my arm constantly. Yeah, but it's...
Oh, that's tripping when it's your foot.
Right, right.
But if you've got like an exaggerate... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just laughed at him saying that's tripping when it's your foot. That's hilarious.
If you're doing that you've got some really bad snoring issues. Like there's actually mouthpieces that you can put in your mouth and adjust the jaw that will open up the back of your throat and stop you from choking.
I feel like I swallow. It doesn't happen a lot. It happens when I'm sick though. If like my nose is running, I wake up choking all
night. Is it a breathing choking or you're saying just from the dry throat?
No, choking on something choking on something. Like it feels like there's like that tickle in your throat. That's what it is. It's like, and I know so it's like going to happen 20 minutes later.
So like a sleep apnea type thing we're talking about, or like that you like something in your throat is clogging up. I'm trying to understand it. I'm not like
no. No, it's like you know when you have to clear your throat or cough.
I have heard of that.
Okay, it's that happening while you're sleeping. You wake up and you have to cough to clear your throat while you're sleeping every 15 minutes.
That's pretty much my
humidifier. Get yourself a nice humidifier, and that'll straighten everything out. You just probably get in a dry throat.
I actually have one in a box. I never used it.
Yeah, I think you actually have to remove it from the box for it to work. it's a guess. It's my best guess on the situation.
That pretty much describes my waking and sleeping condition constantly. Like I think that's the result of just lots of years of smoking. I'm constantly coughing and clearing my throat.
Plus, long-time listeners know Brian has two throats anyway.
Yeah,
so.
True. Yeah, he needs a humidifier for both of them. He has to operate two humidifiers.
But
what about just a cup of water next to your bed, just a sip?
I go through more than like when I'm feeling like this. Well, I usually have a large glass of water at the end of my bed, and I usually fill it up once, you know, because I'll drink like two glasses of water. But in this sort of thing, I'm trying to use water as medicine because I don't want to get up and walk to the bathroom because I'm exhausted. But then every 15 minutes or so, I'll start lapsing into a sneezing fit. Like, literally, I'll just start sneezing, like, 20 times in a row, and I can't stop. And my eyes start itching, and, like, I have this weird, like, allergic reaction stuff that's driving me crazy. And, like, the best temporary solution is just splashing water on my face constantly. And if that doesn't work, I have to jump in the shower and take a shower and just, like, watch, try to, like, you know, get all that. I think it's the stuff that's in the air. And now that it's, like, springtime, this hay fever.
For Hitler in Germany? Oh, sorry,
it's
something else.
It's gone over the top, and it made me start thinking with this whole swine flu panic because I'm starting to have like like flu stuff that I'm getting like you know nausea, and that could be because I'm overdosing on this anti allergy stuff that I'm constantly dizzy and always in the bathroom.
Or you're overdosing on the news.
Yeah, and you know that's the other part of it is like I'm thinking you know maybe I'm not like. Looking into what the symptoms of swine flu are, going to see a doctor or anything, but I'm just thinking, I'm hoping the allergy medication will just cure it.
I do believe that the swine flu is actually cured by allergy medication. Good. I hope that it'll cure all your problems. By the way, on the way over here today, I heard something on the radio on the way here. I recorded. I was hoping I could play it for you guys here, if you don't mind. If you don't mind hearing Harris talk.
I don't need another flu shot. I had a flu shot last year.
Swine flu shot? Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
Swine flu? Man, I'm too fast to let it catch me. I'm the healthiest 55-year-old you've ever seen. Hey, I play golf every weekend.
Get a shot of protection. The swine flu shot.
I just thought I wanted to play that for you guys. I wanted you to know about this swine
context?
Flu. What do you know? You were talking about the swine flu, so I thought I was going to play that swine flu song that I heard here. In all actuality,
please tell me you made that.
In all actuality, that swine flu commercial is actually from 1976.
Whoa!
And the music was done by some artist that I heard of. He's a familiar, a great painter.
That wasn't Charlton Heston, was it?
No, they were just regulation actors that were doing their regular.
Get your hooves
acting
off me, you damn dirty swines!
Yeah. But in all honesty, the thing that took me back about it more than anything else is swine flu has apparently existed for years. I thought this was like a new thing that just came out. Like it was like the new. The new, as the kids say.
From watching the news, I know that it's just the H1N1 influenza virus.
N1!
which is, God, that made me think of periods. That
is that time of the month for you
yes.
again?
I mean, it's just like, I guess, the typical influenza stuff. Now, why it's killing people is beyond me, but I guess apparently it's swine flu because, like, patient number zero got it from a pig or something. I really don't know. I've been hearing misinformation about this from so many sources. Like, there was a girl on the bus telling her mother not to worry about it because if you had swine flu, you'd be dead. So stop obsessing about it. You just have a cold.
Apparently, there's like 100 people in New York that have it, and we haven't had one death in New York yet.
The only death, I think, was a kid in Texas.
The first death in America death happened today, I think.
Okay, I thought there was more than one in America.
The only death
okay.
in America. Okay. Well, as of this morning, unless...
Okay. I'm going to say, if you're coming to us for your news, you're in trouble. I'm going to say,
he died.
I'm going to say there were 1,400 deaths,
yes,
but only 100 cases of it. So it was very weird.
And only three of them were related to swine flu.
Right. Well, obviously.
So I guess the part of me bringing this up is hopefully some of you have been feeling allergic reactions recently, and it's just the sneeziness that's in the air from regular hay fever. And I guess there's a small part of me in the back of my head that's checking my – this is my way of going to the doctor. Do I have swine flu or is anyone else
here?
Take
Claritin. Just take some Claritin. You'll be fine.
Clear it right up.
The symptoms go away when I take that stuff. So I'm thinking it's got to be just allergies.
So everyone should – before you eat bacon, take Claritin and you'll be fine. Although apparently swine flu has nothing to do with eating pork.
Yeah, you don't
surprise.
Get it from there.
Maybe I shouldn't have shared the needles with that pig last week.
That's very weird.
You die for other reasons.
Yeah, right. I actually took my daughter to, you know, there's a class that I take her to every week, and I actually took her to it tonight. On the way, when we walked in there, everything changed. When you walked in, you have to wipe your hands with Purell when you come in. You have to, they give you, like, Clorox wipes to touch everything down.
They douse you with Clorox.
Yeah, they throw Clorox in your eyes only. And make you drink Drano, too, which I thought was odd.
Hazmat suit?
Yeah, more or less, a scuba suit. And, but like they have like a ball pit in this place too because it's like a playground at this
class. Right, with germs.
And there are no balls left in the pit.
Good.
It's a ballless pit, so it's just like great. Kids can play in a bucket. Enjoy yourselves, guys. Have a good time.
There's like missing change and keys just in the middle of the floor. Like that's where they all are. They finally found them.
Yeah, but it's a weird thing. But like I said, I was blown away to think that the swine flu has existed and has been
I'm hearing of that too.
Yeah. But apparently in 1976, and actually I got that from our buddy Brix Avalon's, the person who discovered it. He actually has it on his Facebook page these links to the 1976 swine flu stuff. It's all on YouTube. It's very exciting.
Well, last Monday I had to work at night. I had to work the family fun night at my school. Basically, I was there just to sell raffle tickets, you know, for baskets and stuff. But the family fun night turned into like a swine flu like town hall meeting, with all the parents asking the teachers questions like we were doctors, like Sanjay Gupta was there or something like that.
By the teachers, I mean you. They're asking you how you feel about the swine flu.
Or what is it? Can you get it by eating pigs? What are the kids? Are any of my kids sick? What's going on? I was like, I have no idea. I'm here to raffle.
I wish you gave answers. I wish you just made up answers and gave it to them. Your answer was, I don't know.
Holy water.
Yeah, of course.
Holy water will prevent the swine flu.
Chocolate. I thought it was chocolate.
A holy chocolate, actually.
I kind of...
chocolate water instead. No, chocolate water is a symptom of swine flu. Sorry, I got to
go find a pig, kill it, and drain the blood on you. That's how you...
I'm kind of hoping one kid has swine flu in my schools just so the whole school will be closed. Because if one kid has it, they got to close the whole school down.
Do they?
Yeah, sanitize. Yeah.
But what if you die? What if you can catch it? Can I point something else out to you? Hold on here. If we're talking about the swine flu and we're going to be the swine flu and being all serious about it, I don't know if you know the way swine flu works. It's just because one person has it doesn't mean, oh, then that person gets quarantined and everything's fine. It's a serious business. Bad stuff happens.
Joe brought it home from the office. He gave it to Betty and one of his kids and to Betty's mother. But Betty's mother went back to California the next day. Seems on her way to the airport, she gave it to a cab driver, a ticket agent, and one of the charming stewardesses. At school, Joe's kid gave it to some other kids, and Mrs. Merrill got it and gave it to her husband. In California, Betty's mother gave it to her best friend, Dottie. But Dottie had a heart condition and she died. But before she died, Dottie gave it to her girlfriend, the mailman, the paper boy, and the vet when she went to pick up her chihuahua.
If a swine flu epidemic comes, this is how it could spread. You'll want to be protected, especially if you're elderly or chronically ill. Get a shot of protection, the swine flu shot.
So what happened to
the flu shot?
Oh, sorry.
So what happened the first time around?
I don't know. I don't even think it happened. The way that they
we can't even give you news that's already documented.
Right. Well, the thing is, the way if you even heard
it sounded like it was it was about to blow up.
The way that the commercial ended is like, this is the way it could happen. It's almost like there was like a scare for years of killer bees are going to be here, but then they never came, and then
Africanized
obviously
killer bees.
Well, the Wu-Tang album came out, and they're not straight from Africa. They're from Shaolin. But yeah, it was a different thing. Like it's like you got terrified of it, and then it never came to fruition.
I think this is going to come to fruition, though. I mean,
has. You heard Keith before. 1,400 children dead today in one school in Texas from the swine flu. I think it's awful. It's an awful thing.
That was polio.
New York State, in particular, New York City is one of like the cities in America that has become sort of an outbreak of it. Like there's a school in Queens, apparently. Like there was a bunch of kids who found out that who were diagnosed with it as well. So they're panicking in that school, and it's being passed. I saw a girl on the train here wearing one of those masks.
That's what I was going to ask. Will you guys be forced to wear one of those masks, Chris? Will you wear one if it gets worse in Manhattan? Will you be forced to wear one of those nurses' masks?
I want to say no, but if I could die, maybe I probably won't. I probably still won't wear it. I'll just stay home. If I'm that concerned about it, first of all, is a little paper mask over my mouth going to stop me from catching it?
No, that's my point. Is I'm thinking like the intent of that is to save the tiny little viruses that are somehow the mask is going to stop.
The mask isn't. According to the U.S. Department of Health, they said the mask isn't going to stop anything.
Our buddy Steve LaRpa is saying if he sees someone with a mask, he's going to do the best job he can to hack up a lung right next to the skin of a parrot. You know,
I think the idea behind the mask is to protect people from like the inappropriate cougher, the person who like is going to stand next to you in the subway and cough like off to his left side right into your face, and maybe that'll stop some of the disease saliva from actually touching your nose or mouth. But even if that happened, like if they coughed your spittle onto the top of your mask, you would still think that the virus that is, if oxygen can go through, a virus is going to be able to get through.
Please just do me a favor, Fred, next week for Previously on Best in Show, just cough the spittle on top of your mask. Just needs to be on a loop for 20 minutes. That should be the intro to every show.
I'll tell you, working in a kindergarten class, I get coughed on constantly. Like today, I probably got coughed inside my mouth twice. A kid coughed inside my mouth.
What?
Inside your mouth?
What's like, that mean?
This is how you get swine flu, dude. Exactly. You're dead.
Exactly.
You're dead to me.
I'm there on my knee tying a little kid's shoe, and I look up, I say, your shoe is right into my mouth. And I'm just like, of course I say, I have the swine flu now. Of course I say that.
And it was a boy?
Yes, it was a
boy. Couldn't even been a girl.
No.
So you have swine flu and you're gay.
I can't even believe it.
Jesus.
But it constantly happens, you know. You get a sneeze like in the ear or something like that. I'm definitely going to get it if it goes to the schools. I'm gone.
I love that. I wonder if that is just America is way too paranoid about their children, or are children just the harbingers of viruses? Like they're just filthy, rotten little people, and they're going to be the people who get you sick, and therefore we got to worry about schools first. Or is it their tiny little bodies can't absorb as much filth as we can?
Every child is a petri dish. Yeah. You should know that.
Okay, so it's just that they're filthy. That's why we're worried about the schools, because like one kid is all messy, and you get them and put one kid in a circle of 10, and all 10 kids are.
And let's be honest, adults don't wash their hands in a bathroom. You think a little kid is going to? He's gonna wipe his ass with his hand and just go back to class and not even think.
So it's not so much that we're really that worried that the kids are going to get it. We're just concerned that they're the people who are throwing it back and forth. They're the source.
Every public school sent out a letter describing it, what it is. And in my school, we just came back from spring vacation.
Is the description, ew, yucky?
Yeah. You got to get your cootie shot. We actually...
We're all out of circles. What are we going to do? We can't give any more cootie shots. They send the kids home.
All the kids who went to Mexico on their spring vacation had to get tested by the nurse. Like, we went through every class, and you asked the kids where they went. Any tan kid, where'd you go on vacation? Mexico?
What? They're racially profiling kids.
No, I mean, any kid with that had sun on his or her face, not, you know.
By the way, I just wanted to be known, as we're talking about the spread of the swine flu, it's being pointed out in the Pal Talk room by Sheepy that apparently Waikara could be a spreader of the swine flu. So please do not open her cam. You may actually get the swine flu from it. I'm just saying that right now.
Her cam's got a virus.
It's awful. Awful.
I hope one of us get it. I think that would be a good promotional tool.
honestly, it would really catapult the Heroes Talk Network to the top of the charts. Absolutely. If one of us dies from it.
Germ Freak would be. Let's give it to Germ Freak.
Oh, sweet irony. Oh, sweet irony if Frank dies from the swine flu.
Well, I think just this conversation gave Keith the swine flu. I think just us talking about it now, he now has the swine flu.
You know, that's funny you said that, because yesterday my girlfriend said to me, I'm going to start calling you Germ Freak. Because I went and bought bagels, and you know, she's cutting them in half.
I would go crazy for an everything bagel with cream cheese right now.
Well, you know what it is? She took the bagel out of the bag, and I also bought like the little the container.
Oh, so you bought it? Wait, from a supermarket you bought it, or from a bagel
store?
From
a bagel store.
Okay.
And I bought like the little Tempty cream cheese, the little container with it, and she took the bagel and put it down on top of the cream cheese container, and I started flipping out, yelling, get it off, get it off, get it off.
Oh, because it's touching the exterior of the container?
And she said, why? And I said, that container was just out, like just sitting there, and there could be other dirty containers on top of little people's hands.
Can I point something out to you, though?
I know what you're going to point out. I don't want to hear it.
But would you clean the container before putting it in your refrigerator? Because the refrigerator is the perfect temperature for bacteria and stuff to breed, unless you...
I think the opposite.
That's fine. It's irrelevant. I'm not going to bother with details and facts. But you wouldn't wash the outside of that container before putting it in there?
I wash the at the top of a soup container because sometimes when you open it, the metal dips into the soup.
I'm with you on that. But I'm saying that, like that Tempty container, you're not going to wipe it down with Clorox wipes before putting it in the fridge. And then maybe that's going to jump right onto your eggs that you have right next to it. So it's just as the same thing as your as the bagel that was made and rolled by some dude's hands.
I know. That's what I thought you were going to bring up.
Well, I think even less ridiculous is that he's concerned about the surface, or even more ridiculous perhaps, is concerned about the surface that he's putting it on and not concerned about the air that surrounds it, which is actually like, you know, just there's viruses that are floating around in the air that are like no different than the actual thing that's in there.
By the way.
You can't live like in – the germs are everywhere.
By the way, being pointed out by Sheepy in the Heroes Talk Room right now that we are no longer Best in Show or Breast in Show. We're now Bagel in Show. I love the idea of bagels everywhere. Yeah, but everything's going to be disease, just like Brian's saying. Don't worry about it.
It's not even disease. Germs are like a part of the things that we need.
It's
your
not
exact
even
words
the,
are disease.
It's not that I'm worried about catching something or getting sick. It's more that I'm worried about, like, I just find
the
it
cooties.
Gross. Basically, you said we're out of circles, so. And well, triangle, triangle, dot, dot's a placebo.
I was going to say, but strangely, there's a surplus of dot, dots. So, I mean, we have tons of those. We have to find some sort of trade. Maybe in Cuba. Maybe we can get circles come in from Cuba.
Well, I think Obama actually freed up he removed the restrictions on circles.
Ironically, strangely enough, he did, and he had a ton of them in Air Force One yesterday. They fell out right into the river, right in New York. So they're gone. They're gone. There's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. That sharp turn right over the Statue of Liberty screwed us all.
Well, Chris, I don't know if you've ever seen Keith open a can, but he will clean that can to like a tea. He'll like spit shine it before he drinks it. Every single time he'll get the little napkin and he'll go through the crease before he drinks his little Red Bull or something like that.
Well, I do the same thing, except not with a napkin. I do it with my thumb. Like, I breathe on the top of the can, and I wipe it off with my thumb because somehow my finger is cleaning it. Like,
if you see physical – if you see
crustaceans
rat
on
feces
it.
On the top
you
of your can,
it?
Maybe you should – should wipe it off before you put it in. But I say maybe. Like, if you don't, who
Go to
really
another
cares?
Bodega a block away.
Because that one is so clean. That's the sterile bodega. I go to Sterilis. That's my favorite place that I go to. That's actually where I got these chips. Hey, right now, Keith, these Dorito bags were not wiped down before they were put on this table.
And that's fine, as long as I don't take the Dorito out and put it on the bag.
Because there's like a force field that keeps the germs on the outside of the bag.
Because it's not germs. That's what I said. It's not like
you won't eat that chip.
It's not fear. No, it's not fear
really?
Of germs. It's fear of like dirt being on it. And honestly, have you ever picked up a container in a store and looked at what's on there? Sometimes there's actually like hair and you see
Jizz.
Dirt. You know,
I actually go. I go to the discount section where they store foods in puddles of jizz. That's where it's the cheapest section to go to.
I mean, they're in the back of the stock room, or they're in a truck on the way getting there, or even in the production line. They're just sitting in a stack somewhere, and a can of something in transport has bursted open, and now all that schmeg is now all over 20 cans.
Perfect choice of word.
Exactly. So it's like dried up grape juice is now on the top of your thing.
Ketchup.
Yeah, anything. Just any kind of mess.
By the way, I just want to point out Keith's girlfriend is actually saying in the Heroes Talk Room right now that particular Temptee container did look kind of clean, so I don't think it had anything to worry about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not that it looked dirty, but I just...
Just so you know, yeah, look at you. Look at Brian. He took a Dorito, put it on the bag, and just he's laughing in the face of Swan.
Watch
Flew.
When I try to touch Brian.
Well, that's different, too.
That's not a gerb fear. That's a
Keith, a people.
You don't want to be gay.
That's a feeling fear.
Keith, how are you with fruits and vegetables? Like, are you freaked out about that? Do you have to wash them mercilessly, too?
What?
I get freaked out because when I wash off an apple... I guess it's hypocritical, if that's the right word. When I wash off an apple, unless I have happened to purchase that fruit wash stuff, which is basically like soap for fruit, I'm rinsing off...
Fruit wash.
or water. You could use water.
No, because there's actually stuff that it's actually like a soap product that cleans bacteria off of.
The ones that you're using for fruit are actually to take the wax off of it. It's not a bacteria thing. It's to take the wax off of apples that it's supposedly sprayed with to make them look good. That's what that's for. It has nothing to do with soap. You're supposed to actually wash them with water after using that wax.
Oh, no. Well, I do to wash that off because that stuff smells like oranges. But just wash it.
Drano. Just use Drano to wash all of your fruit and vegetable off. You'll be fine.
Clean bleach.
Just washing an apple with water. And I mean, and you go to a supermarket and you see someone pick it up and they're like squeezing it and looking at it, yeah. Holding it up in their hands.
I will say that there is something a little bit disgusting about being in a supermarket. And as I said, I spend a lot of time in the produce aisle being a non-meat eater. There is something a little bit disturbing when you see people going over to the grapes, because for some reason grape bags are left open in the supermarket. Watching a guy eat a bunch of grapes and then just walk away, knowing that, wait, I'm going to take a bag of grapes home that then some filthy bastard Absolutely. Just stuck his hands all in there. And that kind of grosses me out a little bit, just because I think it's gross. But I don't think that there's like a germ per se. It's like it's shkivats.
No, like, all these people like squeeze the cantaloupes to make sure they were ripe, or like the avocado. You know, people handling your food before you buy it is a skeevy idea.
Well, when you think about it, yes,
it is skeevy.
And, like if someone were to bring me food on a plate, and like, well, let's say Brian. Like, and for the record, I don't skeeve any of you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, at least on the record, I don't.
No, you skeeve me.
But I don't. Well, a little bit.
No, you skeeve me out.
Oh, okay, that's true. That's true.
But if you were watching me eat nachos?
Oh yeah, you're awful. Oh, the sounds that you make really are hideous. But like, if Brian were
puking,
if Brian were to bring me like a plate of food and his thumb were on the side of the plate, even if it didn't touch my food, I might be a little bit gnarled and might not eat the food on that side of the plate.
Well, I'm going to take it back a couple of steps, Freddie. You were about to tear into Keith about his like weird germ obsession and the way that he frenetically or fantastically—I don't even know what word you used—but he frantically washed vegetables, suggesting that you don't wash vegetables.
Oh, no, I wash them, but I don't put like a chemical on them that takes the wax off. You know, I rinse them underneath and cut them up.
All right. So it's not bizarre to you, the concept of taking an apple, for example, and running it underwater before you eat it.
No, I've had a horrible experience with a broccoli that I didn't rinse broccoli one time and had dirt in it, and I made a dirt burrito.
And you could taste it like the
yes, it was grit. It was grit. It was disgusting.
By the way, my favorite thing in the world is our buddy White S. Practicing in the Heroes Talk Room. How does Keith wash the water off of these vegetables? It's a question. It's a big question.
You blow dry it? Do you blow dry the vegetables after they're done? I just let them hover in the air. I tie little strings to the stem.
Just so you do know, Brian, you were actually asking Fred there what he does to if he doesn't rinse. Oh, you know, he obviously does rinse and wash his vegetables. I regularly have a shake. Every day of some sort of green vegetable, my green smoothies that I've been obsessing
you
with.
Standing in your kitchen room, just shaking, just right, like frantically.
obviously, epilepsy. I have epilepsy.
Shake.
That's what I'm saying.
You have one every day.
Yeah, but I have one of my green smoothies every day, and my green smoothies are made with spinach. Generally, is what I put in spinach and kale. And no, I do not wash
you don't
my
rinse
spinach
even after that. That
E. coli, yes.
E. coli.
Most of it's really pre-rinsed though. The bag spinach.
I get bag spinach. But they say, even says on the outside of the bag, rinse before washing. I don't bother. Because there's water in my Dude. Shake. It's kind of like washing it off in there.
It's washing it into your shake.
Oh, I know.
Dude, you should be rinsing your freaking produce off before you eat it.
I know I should, but I'm being honest here.
Well, why is it? It's just out of lazy?
I had a conversation with my therapist today about like trying to really be honest about things. I'm being honest. I'm opening up to you guys here.
It's laziness.
I don't have a salad spinner. And I don't want to have to use 100 paper towels to dry it out. So it's just like, you know what? I'll just throw it in there. What's the worst that's going to happen? I die of some sort of spinach disease.
You get sick or you get dirt in it. But I mean, it's not like you're, it's all.
If Popeye taught me anything, I'll be strong to the finish. If I eat me spinach, right. So why would I even have to worry about it?
I just, even the taste, I don't know, it's probably psychosomatic, but if I'm not rinsing my salad off, like I can almost taste the, I don't know if it's the chemicals or just the dirt that it was, that it came out of or something. There's just something about it that I have to, it's got to be wet. It's still got to be kind of like cold and crisp.
The thing is, I won't use water, but it's being pointed out by Brittany Pablo and White S. Brent that that pee is a perfect thing to rinse anything off in.
So, your own.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to freak out about the idea of, like, oh, my God, there's a little dirt on my spinach. But I want people to pee. You know, I want girls to pee on me. So I'm like, come on. Oh my God, let's be honest here.
Get a salad spinner. There you go. I know what to
get
you for.
I can't find one. I can't find a salad spinner.
What?
Well, I also don't look either. So, but I can't find one. Like, if I look in my cabinet,
you
at
have
home,
two deep fries and you can't find a salad spinner.
Maybe I should rinse my my vegetables in a salad spinner. I mean, in a deep fryer.
Just deep fry them.
Mm. Ooh, deep fried green
spinach
drink.
Leaf. That must be delightful.
No, deep fried green shake.
Green shake. Deep fried green
Dump
shake.
That right into the deep fryer.
That would be
just
delicious.
The cup. Actually, just a solo cup dropped in there with it. Mm, oh. Awesome. It's delightful. It's Best of Joe, bestofjoeradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
I vacationed in Fire Island. Are you familiar with Fire Island?
I can't say that I am. I've heard of it.
Fire Island is notoriously gay. Like, it's the island itself is gay. It makes you gay.
It's like Lost, gay Lost.
It's like gay.
It's like Lost on Logo.
You became gay when you went to the island?
I was sort of in the white trash section. In the section where it's kind of like, ew, we're not going to go there.
We're on vacation over here. We ain't going over on the other side over there. Those guys over there drink drinks with umbrellas in them. We're not going over there. Not going to do anything like that. We're staying over here. We're drinking our Miller. And we're going to hang out. We're going to watch NASCAR. Faggot, come here. Kiss me.
By the way, I just wanted to be known that the analysis in the chat room, the Heroes Talk room, from Vanessa, it's where the gays go. Brixosaurus, gay men take young boys there. White S. Brent, Fire Island is where the faggots hang out. Bruce Leo, no matter how much you try there, you can't be straight. Wow. You're listening to Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the magical wonderland of internet radio. Home of the DJ Newstyle Show every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. to 11. Home of the Awful Hour every Wednesday, except for tonight, 9 till whenever they're done. It's magic in this. Mondays and Thursdays, usually. Awesome. By the way, hearing...
Get these Doritos away from me!
Oh, they're so good, aren't they? So good. I've been having I've had a magical couple of days here. Bookended by
you have a magical life. Everything is magical.
The word
for
magic
you.
Is my favorite adjective. To me, actually, it's not even an adjective. It's just like it's the same like the. It's like what's that? That's the magical like kitchen. Like everything is magical.
That you knew. Here's the thing.
Here's the thing is still my here's the thing.
Okay.
Just so you know, Keith, as we get even more inside, Keith, during the show, loves to mock that he's making fun of me by hitting a bell when I say what I do here.
I do that,
thing.
Too, under the table.
So it's like a little secret just for yourself?
Yep. It's less mocking and making fun of you as it is a natural reaction that I used to stop and it didn't fear, so now I just do it. I guess that's probably similar to why Brian
does it.
Yeah,
I missed the here's the thing bell.
Okay, well, I'll bring it back then.
I'm going to use it for magical.
Yeah, we're going to
bring it back. It's
the magical bell.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. No problem. Actually, let's bring a gong instead. I'll get a gong for it. Well, something less distracting over verbal crutches that I use during the show.
A big, loud, white noise generator.
Actually, we'll bump the show off the air every time it happens as a little thing. So during my magical couple days, I had a... But during my magical couple of days, I actually had a horrific, horrific nightmare this week that I wanted to share with you guys if I could.
You read the eye shirt.
No. Thank God. It wasn't that bad.
Of course not.
I had, in all honesty, I had every intention of returning all of Brian's borrowed items to him on this week's show, but I didn't get a chance to watch American Astronaut yet.
Watch that.
So I was going to read it. I was actually watch it tonight and give it to him tomorrow. But we'll wait till next week. But I had this awful nightmare. I had this awful, awful nightmare, and I don't want to take a serious, like, awful place by any means.
It won't be serious. Don't worry about it.
That's a good point. I had a dream that my wife passed away, and I dreamed that my wife passed away in her sleep.
In her sleep?
I dreamed that my wife passed away in her sleep, and when I left for work, my daughter
Freedom
was left to fend for herself, you son of a bitch.
Sorry.
My daughter was left to fend for herself. For those that don't know, I have a 4-year-old daughter, almost 5 years
and
old.
She's still the same age in the dream? She's not older
this
in the dream?
Age, I believed it was something that had really kind of happened. But my perspective in the dream was such that I was kind of watching it on TV. First of all, I've never had a dream.
You were third person.
I've never had a dream that I wasn't in the dream. You know, I've never had a dream not from my first-person perspective.
It's a webcam.
It was like, exactly. It was I was watching. I was a fly on the wall in my house seeing
this
creepy.
Happen. That's
creepy. Chris's pal talk life. He was watching. Got to get off the computer for a little while, Chris, please.
You're my pal talk dreams and nightmares all at the same time. But yeah, so my wife had passed away in her sleep. I had left for work already. And my poor daughter didn't have someone there to take care of her. And to me, it was the most horrific, I'm sure it was unpleasant for her, obviously, by what, you know, the way she acted in the dream where she was trying to, you know, she got out of bed and trying to wake my wife up and couldn't. But for me, it was just such a horrific thing to see, to think of the terror in a small little person's mind to be left to fend for themselves, not be able to do anything, while the one person that they know is their constant in their life just wasn't there for them.
And it was the most. Do you think it would click for them? Like, how soon do you think it would click?
Why are you moving like Willa Quesa?
Oh, my God. Willa Quesa, one of my daughter's many dead fish, yes.
Do you think, like, a child at that age doesn't know really what alone means yet?
I think after a couple of attempts of waking up, trying to wake up the dead body, quote-unquote, I think the child starts freaking out.
Don't you? I would think a kid would go in front of the TV and start playing with the toys and then come back and try to wake up mommy again. And
then realize she's not going to get in trouble if she eats all the cookies for a little bit.
Like 3 days later, she's eating mommy's face.
I don't know what that age.
But that's like a cat, too.
Exactly.
But actually, a cat's like 20 minutes after you attend for that. But yeah, it was the idea. It wasn't so much the immediate freak out, which was awful. But I'm just thinking now, you know, as I thought about this after the fact, I'm thinking like 5 hours later. Like, this is when I went for work. So, like, I was going to be out of the house for a good – and the way I work, the way my job is with overtime all the time, it could have been 12, 13 hours of my kid being alone in the house.
Yeah.
And granted, she would live. You know, she wouldn't – like, she would starve to death, although God knows what she could have done to herself in that time. But the terror of just being there and not having that direction to be, you know, to be, what are the two kids, Rhesus and Remus, whatever, Remus and that were raised by wolves.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like a Greek story. I looked at you, Brian, because I assumed you would know off the top of your head. It's the twins that were raised by wolves. Remus and Rebus or something like that? No. Somebody help me out or not. It's a high art story. I wouldn't know anything about it.
But the fact that you were third person and you were helpless, you were looking at this happen and you couldn't do anything about it.
I couldn't pick my daughter up and be like, it's okay, it's okay.
Because normally you would be in the dream going to work and you would have the dream about work and you wouldn't even know.
Right.
You would have been in the dream.
Right. From my perspective, exactly. My dream should have been Excel spreadsheets and be yelling at people or getting yelled at on the phone. You know, that's what it should have been if I stood in the proper perspective. But it just totally freaked me out and it was awful and the most horrifying thing I could think of, specifically, of course, because it's my own daughter that will be going through this terror. But even just the concept for anyone of just like a kid being alone and just left helpless for all these hours when a kid is still at the age that they're very dependent. I'm not talking like an 11-year-old, not like home alone, you know, like even younger age than that. And it's just
so,
it was awful.
My daughter learned 911 at 4. As far as to call 911,
she learned to call to
in preschool. They taught that to her.
Your girl's smart.
I'm thinking like if you take it a couple steps farther, it would probably end up that she like you have that your neighbors downstairs from you are people that you know. They're even friends of yours. And
they go too.
And I have to imagine that.
I just want to say really quickly thank you to DJ Newstyle. Romulus and Remus is the story of Romulus and Remus are the two Greek twins raised by wolves.
What story is that from?
Romulus and Remus and Wolfie.
Wolfen, I think it's called.
Okay.
Wolfen is the name of the story.
Okay.
I love that movie, Wolfen.
But you were saying, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm thinking like you've established a relationship with your neighbors downstairs at the very least, and your daughter at this point probably knows that they live downstairs and probably even knows how to get there. Like if panic started to set in and she really truly felt alone, she could probably get downstairs and pound on a door and scare up something.
We actually have one of those things on the doorknob so she can't turn the doorknob to get out of the house so she couldn't throw herself down the stairs by accident
with us not
there.
You don't think she's figured that out yet?
She definitely hasn't. She definitely 100% hasn't. So, but I mean, I'm sure if I was thinking, if we're talking specifically my kid, I'm sure that there are ways that she would be able to notify someone, although she doesn't, we haven't taught her 911. Maybe 911 is the next lesson that we go on. We haven't taught her, but there would be
Uncle Vito's number or something.
She would scream and they would know what was going on. There would be a way. But again, I'm just saying even the concept of just like a kid trapped alone.
You hear all the time about, parent like a child being on a long road trip with one parent and the parent like keeling over behind the wheel or something, you know, like and then this kid is just kind of left. I mean, that's even scary. At that point the kid's not even home, you know, like now it's just a child just like out in the middle of nowhere, you know.
There is a horrible commercial on TV. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's a little kid in the subway and you just see the shot of the little kid, a close up, and the parent behind them, and you see the parent leave, and it's like a little kid feels alone as soon as the parent leaves. And the parent leaves, the kid starts crying, and then goes, how do you think they'll feel when they're gone for the rest, when you're gone for the rest of their lives? And it's like a no smoking commercial. And the kid is just bawling, crying on TV because this person has just walked away. Then they're playing on your emotions by saying not to smoke.
Real and funny, Fred.
And it's a horrible looking commercial. Like when you look at it and you see this kid start bawling, it's like, oh my God, this is like worse than seeing like a one-eyed dog on TV or something like that.
It's worse than that
ASPCA.
It's worse than that commercial with Sarah McLachlan's bad, terrible song playing.
Yes. Oh,
with
those apples? Oh, that doesn't do anything to me. They're just dogs.
No, but the kid crying just really tugged at my heartstrings, man. And my kindergartners, 5 and 6 year old, when their parents don't pick them up as soon as 3 o'clock comes around, they start bawling. Where's my mom? Where's my dad? They start crying. Yeah. They're like, all right, they're too
late. And you're crying with them. Where are they?
Yeah. What
please get me out.
Where's my mommy?
What happens if the para dies right in the middle of class?
Freedom.
Exactly, freedom.
But so when you woke up from this dream, did you like grab your wife and blink like, oh my God?
If I would have grabbed my wife when I was getting up for work in the morning at the time she would sleep, then I would be the one that died that day. Because waking her up that time in the morning.
But you didn't have that like reaction where you like
the sigh of relief. The sigh of relief when I realized it, absolutely. But I didn't jump up in terror because, like I said, it wasn't happening to me. It was the perspective thing. I was just like, when I opened my eyes, I was like, okay, I'm home. Okay, I'm here. Everything's cool.
And I'm
okay.
Not on the ceiling.
I am not a fly on the wall. I'm not a fly on the wall.
No, there's nothing scarier than dreaming about that, man. That's parents' worst nightmare.
It was unpleasant. It was unpleasant. But I see something in here. I see something in here that I could work out of this whole thing. As we know, I'm an aspiring painter. We know I'm a foodist. I'm an inspiring painter, maybe, instead of aspiring. But
you're a foodie.
I'm a foodie. I'm a chef. I'm all sorts of these great things. I'm thinking, talking about the high art from earlier in the show, I'm thinking movie. And I'm thinking I become a filmmaker based on this one dream that this is my movie. And I've had ideas for movies before and never put them out there.
Anonymous because, security cameras just edited together.
Because I thought in my mind that any movie that, oh, dude, that's a great idea. I got to do that.
Can I play your daughter?
I can't. Yes, please? Obviously.
Can I play your wife?
Dude. Obviously. I thought you did anyway.
I'll get old method. I'll follow your daughter around for like a month or two and see all of her mannerisms and everything. I'll do a really good job.
Yeah, I think you'd get arrested for following my daughter around for a month. And I think I would be the one calling the cops.
Just because you don't want him around that much.
Yeah, like, yo, get out of here. But I never want to talk about my movie thoughts or my movie writing ideas on the air because I'm thinking, oh, dude, I'm going to do something with that. But I know I'm lazy. I know I'm never going to do anything with it. So I'm going to throw it out there. And if someone creates this film based on my nightmare, but here's the thing. You do it all first. Oh, here's the thing, ding. First person from the perspective of my daughter walking around the house freaking out, and you never find out that it's a little kid until the end of the movie. That's the twist.
Really?
Spoiler alert.
I would think
watch my movie now.
I see it as like security cameras or cameras that are in the different parts of the house, just very static, watching the little kid roam from room to room, and it's almost like black and white and kind of like faded.
That's a little too panic room for
me. She goes into the other one, and there's no
sound. No audio.
Like every once in a while, you'll see her. Like,
or no
you'll,
dialogue.
You'll
no
catch
English.
A glimpse of her panic face and her mouth open as if she's screaming, but you don't hear anything. You hear like the mechanical noise of the
2 hours of that. That's actually an interesting. That's an interesting take on it. We should do it like Cloverfield, that I'll do my version of the thing, then you film your version of it. Everyone does their own version of the same
story. At
the end,
Mom wakes up, though. I mean, it's just like it's a funny little, oh, ho, ho. Maybe put music to it. Like, do the same thing, but like set it to really happy kind of clown music, and then do the same thing. And then set it to like, it becomes a completely different movie.
See, I like Chris's idea because you don't know if it's like an animal because it has that low perspective, or maybe that it low is. Perspective view.
Maybe it is an animal. I just love the idea that at some point, like the end of the movie, she
don't
manages.
Call your daughter an animal.
She's
a burglar.
It's horrible.
She manages to climb up another great aspect of it.
Your daughter murdered your wife.
Now? Just now?
No, in the dream. It turns out she killed her wife.
But, yeah, I like, I'm saying, like, the idea is that maybe she climbs up in the bathroom and she gets into the mirror in the bathroom. That's the first time that you see from her perspective that she's a little kid, or she's a dog, or she's a burglar, or she's the fly on the wall, or something like that. I don't know. Interesting.
Good idea. You should do
that. The fly trying to get out, like, banging into a window over and over again, trying to get out. I guess that would be a short movie, though. It wouldn't work out very well.
That would be long.
Flies don't live that long.
But it'll be done in their perspective, so it'll seem like 3 years.
You know, did you share this dream with your family members?
No, absolutely not.
He woke his daughter up and told her.
I had a dream that your mommy was dead.
Mommy's dead and you were alone.
See ya.
Isn't that funny? Daddy's off to work.
Mommy's sleeping.
I think.
Oh, God. Dun,
dun, dun. Oh, God. Great movie. Totally overrated.
And Fred's a method actor, so he's going to be following you around for 2 weeks.
Dude, definitely. I would love to do that role.
I just want to sit around and play with toys and stuff all day long. I'll totally study your daughter's life for a little while.
Isn't that what you do anyway?
I live the life of a three-year-old.
Exactly.
You play first shooter games all day long.
You know, the only time I ever, and being somebody that doesn't finish anything, that barely starts anything, the only time I ever started, like, writing ideas down, outlining ideas for, like, scripts or something, was stuff that I got from dreams.
Really?
Stuff I took from dreams.
Those always look horrible, don't they? Like, you think they're so great, and then you go back 2 days later, and you read it, and you're like, garbage.
Well, what I would do is write it, like, right in the morning.
The dog bites the man, and then everyone yells, freedom, America! You know?
Dream seems so like important and like far from superficial. There's so much depth to it the moment that has happened.
Well, wake up, and that's when I would write it down, and then later I would look at it, and it would take me a while to figure out what it was, and I was like, oh, that's what that was?
Absolutely, because I can't believe that Chris's dream had a beginning, middle, and end. Like, you had a story that just...
Oh, no, it didn't. I had the concept of my wife was dead in bed, my daughter crawling out of bed, helpless, and then I woke up and then thought about it after the fact. I'm like, wow, just think about her being there for hours. And I thought, yo, this is a movie.
For the record, he's a plagiarist. His daughter told him she had this dream. He had no topics for tonight.
True.
See, in my dream, like, the daughter in the next scene would turn into a gumball, and like, all of a sudden the walls would be clouds, or it just wouldn't make any kind of sense anywhere. It would just totally...
So we're asking, that's what this is. We're all writing, writing we're preparing our own version of this script.
Well, the oddest thing in the world is that last night, I told Chris this morning, last night, as I should say early this morning, as I was waking up, I was dreaming that me, Chris, and his daughter were sitting on his couch in an old apartment watching a baseball game. And that's all that happened.
I'm going to say that's not a very good movie.
Well, what about from security camera?
Well, it's true. And what was the name of the movie? Watching the Game? Or just The Game?
Wait, is it black and white or color? That's very important.
I'm no art fag, bro. It's color.
Yeah. I bet you most people's ideas come from their dreams. Would you think?
That was actually one of the things I wanted to bring up about this. Like, is that where these things come from?
I would suggest just the opposite. I would say most people's dreams come from their ideas. But like you didn't have that dream by mistake. You were thinking about these things on either a conscious or a subconscious level, and they happened to appear in your dream.
But you're realizing it through your dream.
Right. I mean, okay, yeah, you're able to consciously acknowledge that it happens, and for that reason it could be. But you're not going to write your stupid dream. You're going to write what you've thought about as a result of
seeing. My stupid dream is written by my stupid thoughts.
Right. You're going to write about the thoughts that have inspired that dream.
By the way, can we do a break of Debbie Gibson's Only in My Dreams at any point? Because that's all I'm thinking of right now for some reason. But yeah,
I wish I could remember my dreams. I cannot remember them.
That's why you need the notebook next to your bed, so we can have and then the dog yeah. beat the man. See, and you can have like pages and pages of that.
Can I borrow that dog to be watching the game with us? Because mine kind of needs it.
No, like I'll wake up. There's just nothing there. It's just like I'm up. I got to go to work. There's nothing.
Really wake up. I got to be honest. Somehow I'm not surprised that everything is just blank inside your head. I'm not surprised.
There really is. Really, there's nothing. I don't know what it is. If I'm a light sleeper, I don't know what makes you have these lucid dreams that you remember such details. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know what's frustrating? Did you ever wake up from a dream and you really, especially somebody like me, because I think every dream is going to be like, some script that I'm going to write that's going to be the greatest thing in the world. And did you ever wake up and then like slowly you start to forget it? And then it becomes
every
this legend. It becomes the legend
Bro,
of your dream.
Bro, if you look out the window, you never remember your dream. If you look at it,
what?
I'm telling you, Mo, if you have a dream.
Don't look at the sun.
And you look out the window before you think about the dream, your dream flies out the window. That's what happens.
Nice.
I'm telling you, that's what happens. And I'm not even, I know I'm doing it in the stupid voice of that because I've had friends tell me in a voice just like that. Because I have some really smart friends.
It's just time. I think
you guys are the geniuses, I know. So think about it that way.
I think our dreams are just filled with so much nonsense and garbage that it's necessarily like the things that don't fit logically sort of fall by the wayside quickly. And that's the reason why people keep notebooks like dumb people like me would keep notebooks next to their bed.
You should do it to write down your lost ideas. It's a much better usage for that notebook.
Sadly, I went through a period where I wrote down lots of crap from all my dreams and end up using nothing because it's all garbage. It's stupid little things that you can...
When I was younger and thought I was a musician that was writing songs and writing poems that turned into songs, I would just get up in the middle of the night, write things down, scroll them down, and then read them next to like, ew.
I would sing
like,
it.
If I wrote it when I was straight, like if I was straight in the middle of the day and awake and wrote it, I'd be like, ill, shut up, stop writing.
Yeah. I would sing it. I would wake up and sing either into like a tape recorder or something. And then the next day I would hear it and...
Like him waking up like out of a stone sleep.
three in the morning. Ooh, child.
Like not even recording it, just waking up, bolting up in bed and singing. Just waking up singing.
Adding to the problem is that I would be like doing it low and like half asleep. So the next day all I would hear is... And like, I swear to God, half asleep, I would be thinking in my head, "Oh my God, this is better than the Beatles. This is the greatest song anyone ever." It probably was the Beatles.
Yeah, I was thinking. Do you think that there's going to be pure inspiration in sleep musically like that? I don't know.
That's how
I don't know.
Keith Richards supposedly came up with the riff for "Satisfaction." You know, he actually sang it into a tape recorder and then went back into his boozy nightmare of unconsciousness.
I'm familiar with urban legends too.
Yeah,
I know all about exactly. those. You don't have to be. You don't have to brag and try and show off that you know that. But yeah, it's whatever. I don't know. I think I got a great idea for a movie. I'm going with it. Even though Sheepy's saying it's not a good idea to go with the surprise angle in the Heroes Talk Room, I think it's the way to go. My little kid, or maybe she is. Maybe she is the dog.
I think it's the way to go too because that was your
excited.
It was your vision in the beginning. I think you should make it come to fruition.
Do you feel bad about yourself for having that dream?
No. No, I don't. I mean, no. And that's actually another thing, another aspect of it I thought about. I'm thinking that maybe, you know, Brian told us the stories of his dreams a few months back where he was hacking people apart or something like
that.
And we were all just like, dude, he's nuts. And I'm thinking, like, maybe he's not that nuts, or maybe I'm just as nuts. It's not, to think about dead stuff and people like that, it's just normal.
It takes you aback. It scares you a little bit when you realize that stuff is packed away in your brain somewhere and it's coming out in some form. Even if you don't mean it or if you're not actually, like, thinking bad things, the fact that bad things are floating around in there, it takes you back a little bit, especially if they're so real, if they seem so realistic.
Absolutely,
so real. By the way, my other big movie script that I was coming up with that I was never going to share the idea of on the air was back when I got
write this down.
When I got please. Oh, in your notebook that you have. I got arrested a few years back for I don't know, not having car insurance of all things to get arrested for.
It's a nightmare.
But I spent about 30 something hours in a holding cell in the tombs in Staten Island in Manhattan, and as I'm sitting in there, and it was
aren't Rikers the tombs?
Is it really?
I thought maybe not.
The tombs are the holding cells underneath. It's the first precinct is what it is. It's the only place that's open on the weekends, so everybody goes in there, no matter how grave or minor the crime is.
Grave,
ironic. Tombs. That's weird. Coincidence?
I think so.
Probably not. But so as I was in there, there were just tales. It was just like all craziness that happened over the 36 hours. Just watching all this stuff, and I wanted to do a movie. Based on this, where you get certain characters based on who they are in the prison, and then don't like other ones, and then at the end of it, like a la Animal House, like you find out what the guys reach in there for, and then my big twist was that you were going to find out the guy that you liked was like a double murder rapist or something like that. That was my other big idea for a movie.
Yeah, let me scratch that out.
Yeah. Damn it.
You know, I have a movie about a radio host that gives away all his movie ideas, and each time they're made, a little piece of his soul dies.
Yes. Indeed.
You know, all this talk about dreams has got me thinking about something that happened in the show in the past. And actually, I've been kind of brewing on it for a little while. And I hope I can take a little segment of tonight's show to maybe clear something up.
Rash?
Yes.
Claritin. We established Claritin.
I'm clearing up a psychic rash right now. There was some time ago, it was Brian Free Monday, that was after an experience that Keith and I had together drinking in Brooklyn.
I love Brian Free Mondays. God.
And Keith was telling the story about how I was insulting a friend of his who I met the first time, which, I mean, I should pull.
Voldemort.
I should pull no punches. Yeah, code name Voldemort. One of the conversations that I was having with him
during
was
the tour of New York City,
the whirlwind tour of Brooklyn, was one of the conversations that I was having with him is the acknowledgement or the hopefully, you know, I was feeding onto an epiphany that came to me recently that that you or he in this context will never achieve his dreams. All of those things that he wishes for in his life, those big things that he wants to do, statistically speaking, given the amount of people who have similar or those kind of dreams, you can pretty much bank on the fact that it's not going to happen to you. And, you know...
I want to hear Debbie Gibson's Only in My Dreams again for some reason.
And when I said that, it was kind of misconstrued. I guess I could acknowledge that, taken from the context of someone telling you you're going to be a failure, immediately you're just not going to hear sort of the description. It was a philosophical discussion that I was having on him a lot. He was taking much too deliberately. What was that?
No, sorry, I said mom. I've heard someone saying you're not going to achieve your dreams. I assume my mother was here for a second.
It was just the idea that there's so many people out there trying to achieve these things and so little of them achieve them that for the most part you can bank on failure. And it's not that he came from Vancouver or he wasn't like a New York resident. That had nothing to do with the issue. It was the fact that he was a human being and we all have aspirations that we're all not going to make. And it was somewhat recently, at the tail end of another Brian Free Monday, where Fred opened up a little bit with one of the dreams that he had in his life that never came to fruition. And it became obvious that it happened to him, that he came to this realization on his own, like on himself, his dream of being an actor was never fulfilled, and he kind of put the brakes on, and you know, he stopped what he was doing and decided to, instead of investing all of that energy into this, move into like a different place. And I was wondering if, Fred, you feel as if you failed on that, because my whole concept with this is to understand that you're not going to make it, and therefore don't feel as if you're failing. Do what you like to do, but don't, you know, define it as your being. Do you feel that like you failed in a part of your life as a result of not becoming a professional actor?
Every day I go to work.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, you've got a good job now. You've got a solid future.
It's not a good job. No, it's not a solid future. I need to get a better job.
Okay, you're on the road to a much more solid future than you could ever hope to have, even if you were a successful actor.
What you're doing
right now is going to be more solid and more successful than when you could have hoped to do, even if you were like one of that half of 1% who actually started to make a career and make a living in acting.
Yes. Are you better off? Are you better off being someone that has is in a pretty good, decent place in a career, or are you better off being somebody that was once a huge star, or not even a huge star, was a fairly big star and now is no longer?
Is it better to have loved and lost or exactly. to never have loved at all?
Like, is it better
for
to
me,
be...
You're asking me that?
Is it better to be, say, Fred, how old are you now? You're
32.
You're 32. Okay, so... Say 12 years ago.
Was I'd say it'd be better to be 31.
Exactly.
Or 30.
Is it yeah. is it better to, if Fred had achieved in, say, the early 90s at a young age a moderate level of success as an actor and now he was no longer anything? Is he better to be that now? Like, can he still use that, you think, to achieve something better than what he has now?
I think the sad part of the story is the fact that maybe, I mean, maybe it sounds like Fred came to terms with what he's calling this failure and is a little kind of depressed about it, as opposed to it up front understanding that he's not going to be a professionally paid actor and just continuing to doing acting anyway for the time that he can so that he can do this while he can afford to enjoy it. Like, I don't see that you failed.
Really?
You actually went out and you acted in some things. You went out and tried to get jobs and you experienced what it is to be an actor. And for all intents and purposes, you did what you enjoyed to do. You got to do the thing that you enjoyed to do.
Yes.
And you didn't fail. You didn't like do anything wrong. You were able to get, you know, what you wanted. And why feel every day that you go to work that you're unhappy now? Why well, define your life around that?
I don't
passion?
Know. That it's
just the sadness that happens.
Yeah.
Right? I don't get that.
It's not. He shouldn't be sad. He did the acting.
But I feel like I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I feel like I was put on this earth to do a certain thing. I'm not doing it, and that you know that's how people feel.
Okay, well, why stop doing it? Why not acknowledge you're never going to be a paid actor, but go out and every once in a while try to get another job as an actor? And, you know, go out and stand...
And what, give up my security that I have now with my
Not necessarily give up your security, but instead of going to 20, you know, auditions a day, handpick that one audition that you can pull off a month. And if you get rejected, so be it. You tried, you gave it a shot, you know, and on the off chance that you were actually able to, like, get into a production... Yeah, you'd probably take it and not be, you know, teaching for as long as you could.
Well, I get into that production. What, I have to quit my job for the 3 months or whatever that production's on, and then I have to go re-get another job? You know, this is an ongoing thing. Like, you as an actor, you're doing
right.
a job. You're looking for that next job before that job is even over.
But at least you have the choice. Like, if you were given that role, you can say, no, I'm going to stay and become a teacher. Isn't sort of the process of acting going and trying to find, doing the audition?
Yes.
Kind
of? But now I'm married. I have someone else to take care of. I can't have a job where I might be getting paid this week. I might not be getting paid this week. I need to have a routine, a schedule
right.
that I know X amount of dollars is coming in. And as an actor, you don't have that. You don't ever have it.
Why don't you be a teacher who acts on the side? Why not just every once in a while go try an audition? Why stop one, something that you like to do, just because you have to have
He already
like
said
another.
This on the show a week ago, that he's has a problem that the failure that he's experienced through this was part of the hard bit for him.
Totally. Totally. And it's a numbers game. If you're not playing the numbers, you need to be going on 20, 30 auditions a
right.
week. You need to be doing that. Because you know what? You're getting 0.5 of those auditions.
And there's no enjoyment at all, the process of auditioning.
Oh,
learning
the
stuff, sitting
horrible.
Down is not enjoyable, even in the remotest bit.
A
it's the promise
reading.
Of a possible job
yes.
that you look forward to. That
Absolutely.
Justifies it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, still, it still seems like you tried it. You did what you did. You even succeeded at what you did, and now you're doing something else. Why feel that your life is a failure as a result of that?
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
It really is. It really is the theme. It's the theme of the show. It's only in my dreams. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. The thing you do with your ears is the place to be. So,
I mean... I kind of bring it up, or I did that as a prologue to the larger conversation that I kind of hesitate to get into because, I mean, this touches on the things that we're doing here in this room,
mm-hmm.
for example. Like, there is a dream amongst the people who sit at this table that eventually this will turn into something that we can make money out of, that we can sit in front of a microphone and have people who pay us to do this and support our job at it. And you know, that we don't have to work a stupid little side job to make this happen, and we can support family and friends by coming in and doing this, like, every day of the week. But if that doesn't happen, and the chances are pretty high that it's not going to happen, statistically speaking, take the amount of people who are trying to do this and the amount of people who are actually getting paid to do it, it's not going to happen. Are we a failure? Have we failed then at the end of this thing when we scrap it, when we decide we're not going to do it? Or have we succeeded in just doing something that we're enjoying?
In that aspect, because I haven't gone into this whole thing thinking that there was a job, it was just for fun. In that aspect, there's no loss. We, you know, every day we do a show, I think we've succeeded in doing something, just making
something.
Look at
that.
Look at you.
Of course. But
not apply that to your acting?
Because I went in there knowing that I was going to do it for the rest of my life.
Did you just call him a dick?
Gig.
Don't you apply that to your acting, dick? What the hell? Wow. Talk about aggressive.
Because I didn't come in here thinking that, you know, that I was going to make this my livelihood. I went into that profession, acting, thinking it was going to be my livelihood, and nothing was going to stop me. That was it.
All right. Well, maybe I should point this question to Chris or to Keith, people that might be banking a little more on you know, this converting into something.
Basically, I could say that when we started doing internet radio before Best in Show, to me, it was something to do because we both liked radio, and I wanted to do radio in a certain way. And
you and Chris,
and yeah, and our partner at the time. But when slowly it started being like, you know, when we started being consistent, I said, you know, I had in the back of my head I would love to be able to, like, parlay this into, like, an actual radio career somehow. That slowly built up to the point where I thought that there was a really good chance. And then maybe that went down, you know, in the end, and said, well, maybe there's not a chance, you know? As far as that goes right now, I have no idea. You know what I mean? I'm basically a pessimist, I guess. And so, if you would have asked me today, I would probably say, like, Brian, you know, like, yeah, this, nothing will ever happen. But
why is that a bad thing? Like, okay, granted, it would be great if this were to parlay
into
something.
Well, it's not, because it's also become something that, no matter what, this is what it is right now. It's something that I like doing. It's something that, you know what, if I can't make money off it, like, I would like to, like, not even make money off it, if I can't have this be what I do and I have to keep another job, I still would want to always do this.
But to Brian's point, that is exactly what he's saying to Fred here.
Right.
As Fred walked out of the room, because it's just been too much for him.
He got a gig, you didn't know?
Oh, he's that's his point, that the experience of doing it is part of what the enjoyment was. But again, exactly what Fred said is the frustration of the failure associated with it, or what he perceived as failure,
okay,
as not getting the job, was too much for him.
Well, putting it to you, Chris, is what we're doing right now a means to an end? And if you don't achieve that end of a paid radio gig, have you failed at internet radio?
Nope.
So this is the thing.
I would like there to be more, but it's not as cut and dry as failure. I don't look at this as an audition for the big part. Doing this in and of itself is enjoyable. This is therapeutic for me. This is fun to talk and do this stuff. Would I like there to be more to it? Sure. Would I like someone to pay me to do it? Sure. If that never happens, and as you said, likely will never happen.
Yeah, you have to understand that statistically speaking, where it's a shot in the dark that it's going to happen.
In my dreams, not shot in the dark. It's a different 80s
We're
song.
In a hugely populated barrel that some godlike fist is going to reach in and pluck one little needle out of that haystack, and the chances are entirely likely that it's not going to be our needle. It's not going to happen for us. Once you come to terms with that...
If Keith's still on the show, it'll be our needle.
Once you come to terms with that, is this in and of itself enjoyable enough? Is this the end?
Is this the end? That's New Edition. Another different 80s song. By the way, ironically, according to Ustreamer 7895, the ironic thing is Debbie Gibson's goal was not to be a pop singer. It was to be on Broadway. And guess what? That's what she's doing now.
Holly Robinson's goal was to be a pop singer, and she ended up being a detective in a high school.
But she also sang the song for that, so she actually was a pop singer and a detective, and on Broadway in my mind.
Are you telling me if I faked myself out and wanted to be a pop singer, I would have became an actor in the long run?
No, what we're telling you is by you doing this, you could parlay this into an acting gig and finally become that actor that you've always wanted to be.
We should spend a little time with our friends DJ True. Newstyle and Germ Freak, because if you listen to last night's episode of the DJ Newstyle show, you'll hear these gentlemen are going to be in City Dragon 2. It's going to be a very, very exciting thing that's happening, but I'm not going to go through all the details. Nice. Just go over to DJNewstyleShow.com, download, enjoy, be a part of, go over to HearUsTalk.com, get yourself over to the DJ Newstyle show and listen to last night's episode.
Are they going
to
be themselves, or are they going to be a character?
I couldn't say. Apparently, there were rumors that there was supposed to be a gay love scene between the two of them. But this
is so they're going to be themselves.
Exactly.
That was one thing I never did, and I don't think I could ever go through being an actor is doing the gay love scene. That was one thing that I struggled with.
Wow, Brian wanted to be an actor just at the prospect of doing it. He was like, really? It's the only reason to.
I don't believe you. If you were at an audition and they gave you a reading and it had something to do with you being part of a gay relationship and you did it because you're there in the audition, I'm going to do anything they want, and they said, great, you got the job.
There's no way you have
to kiss this man on screen and you get to be a paying actor.
Listen to this. There's no way I'm kissing the dude at an audition. You're giving me the part.
Right.
And I must be getting paid, substantially.
This is the start of your acting career. You are doing Brokeback Mountain. You're the Heath Ledger's...
Brokeback Mountain 2?
Yes. You're the new Heath Ledger.
Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain. You got to take it. You got to take that. Even the possibility of turning into it.
You're right. I do have to take it. You're right.
Hey, Brian, I'll recommend a good Russian bathhouse for you to start your career on.
Yeah, well, it's practice. It's practice so you can get ready to play that role. You'll listen to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do with Heroes is the place to be. You want to be a part of the magic? You can. 877-744-6405. We're on Instant Messenger and all that stuff, too, but no one even talks on that other than us to each other. So just hang out and listen instead.
Part of the failed dreams.
Yeah, exactly. If only one day we can get that dream of phone calls. Oh, man. Instant messages, I mean.
One thing I'll say is being unemployed has led me to spend more time, believe it or not, on doing stuff for the show. And it's let me, there's always those websites that you like.
You just never know.
Your go-to sites.
I was just going to say, yeah, that topic list is evidence, obviously.
Oh, this is, I have a topic.
Oh, nice. All right. He's got one. It is an upgrade.
Let me double check that topic.
The topic is working hard on my topics.
Spent more time on show, came up with this topic. All right, anyone else?
Sorry, I didn't mean to say.
One of those websites that, I still find myself constantly having to log into Facebook for absolutely no reason. And it's one of those things that drives me crazy. Kind of like when I think Facebook is more addictive than MySpace was. But it's one of those things, nothing is ever really going to be that important, if important at all, that happens on Facebook. Aside from maybe stuff for the show, if I need to get in touch with somebody, that's pretty much it. And even that's limited. But I still constantly find myself logging into Facebook. And it's gotten to the point where now I'm seeing things on Facebook and it's making me hate it and want to just go Fred's route and just get rid of the whole thing. And it's not to pick on people, but...
Well, Keith, you know what you can do? I haven't been on Facebook for 2 weeks. And you know what? If I go on now, it's no big deal. It's where you left off. There's really no big... every day. It's really a routine. But when you're unemployed at home doing, nothing and you're screwing around on a computer, where else are you going to go log in and see what's going on? Plus, it has the chat capability, so if you have your buddies on, you can pop into a chat. But, I totally ditched that.
Robert,
I'm telling you, what you're missing out on is a restaurant city, a pet society,
a pet yoga. Pet.
Yeah, but you need to pay attention to it.
He has flies on him now.
You see, that's if you have that sort of stuff, you'll love the Facebook.
But I got
the Facebook, as my mother would say.
But I got bored with Pet Society already. Exactly. I got bored with cleaning my pet, but the thing that started to drive me crazy about Facebook is the self-righteous status updates that people have. There's the guy that has the status update that you have to read like 14 times to figure out what the hell he's talking about.
Brian's on Facebook.
Make no mistake, I never go near Facebook.
Like, oddly enough,
run away from that crap.
I don't see Brian, as much as he says things like that, especially when he used to start the show like that, I don't see Brian being... I was petting him, sorry. I don't see Brian being the guy that would do this. But like, this is the guy that like you have to read a bunch of times and like and maybe it's a quote from someone, you know, like maybe he read The Prophet and he decided to take a line from that book or something.
I probably end up quoting stuff that I read all the time.
Or just like or intentionally, you know, like the guy, you know, the guy that wants
just had
to
a great
know.
Workout, had a great workout and you
and
see
then,
the guy
and
flexing.
That, and then there's the people that
horrible.
That's
horrible.
The second guy.
I love that. Oh, I love that.
Kill that guy.
The second guy is
you can't. He worked out. Yeah, exactly. He will smash you to death.
The second person is the person that feels the need to give you an update every 3.5 minutes of what they're doing. I'm going to eat a cookie. Hey, just ate a cookie. Hey, I'm going to go get more cookies.
But that's not Facebook. That's Twitter. That's the Twitter getting attached to it is what it is. And hey, if you're not into it, that's fine. But
it's just, and again, this is no reason to pick on people for this. And then again, not to insult people. But the kid updates. This is what I'm doing with my child now. This is what I'm doing with my child now. My child. Just this. This is what I'm doing with my child.
You get kid updates.
Can I just tell you something really crazy about that?
I've set 7 kids on fire.
One of the guys that I work with, he's a subcontractor of the workforce. He's a friend of mine, you know, and he's someone I've known outside of work. But he's in my office the other day. He doesn't actually really work in my office. But I happen to click on my Facebook page and open up on the Facebook page. His wife starts posting pictures of his kids. So. As my little fun joke, what I do is then is click on the picture. So he walks by my desk and sees a picture of his daughter blown up on my screen. Like, it's like, because that's like, creepy. That's nuts. That's
you should
nuts.
Have put it on your desktop and just left it there for a second.
I couldn't. I mean, I just wanted. I just left it like there, like that.
Go to the bathroom. I'm sorry.
And what did the guy do? He was like, wait, what? No, that's really good, right? Does your wife do the same thing? She puts pictures of him? I'm like, nope. Absolutely not. There
because
are no pictures.
This would happen.
There's no pictures of my kid online
for this
me,
reason.
From my wife, from anyone. If my wife has a picture, I ask my wife to take pictures like in picture frames in the house now. Like, hey, come on, no. Someone might see that.
Honey, I don't want you looking at that picture.
Do you notice there's a lot people of like at-home housewives that are doing these things with the kids because you know who's updating at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and this that, so you got to really see.
I got to be honest with you. I work furiously, somewhere around 70 hours a week at my job, and I'm constantly out doing something. But I've got my Twitter set up on my phone, so I can update my Facebook status whenever I'm anyplace if something strikes me. It's something I enjoy doing. You don't like it, F you.
I'm getting the sense from Keith's conversation that he's starting to come to sort of a hate relationship with the whole Facebook stereotypes and the experience of that and the Twitters and the stuff that's out there. But I think there's going to be a problem with Keith because Keith strikes me as he's a creature of habit. Like, he does things that have been sort of programmed into his regimen, and I believe he's probably – he sits down in front of a computer and he is – 3 clicks away from Facebook, and he's gonna constantly go to Facebook. He's gonna look at it. He's been dialed into it for too long. You can't quit Facebook.
You can't do it. Absolutely. He goes to the Heroes Talk forum. He goes to psychedelicbandoftheweek.com, and then he goes to Facebook.
Right.
Guaranteed.
But he likes those things. He's starting to hate Facebook. He's going to be a person who despises Facebook.
He's a guy who likes that he hates Facebook, and he's going to spend time looking at it because of the things he doesn't like about it that amuse him.
There is definitely the whole, like, when you hate something so much that you need to watch it.
I'm spending so much time at hipstersmustdie.com because I hate hipsters. But you're sitting there every day looking at the thing that you hate.
Or the guy who makes that site.
You know? But it's not for the sake of, and granted, I'm doing this currently telling people, but it's not for the sake of being the guy that hates it. It's just for what it does to me watching it. But it's not like, it's starting to get to the point where I log in and then I'm just like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm not even going to look because I just can't deal with this stuff. You know, like, and then there's those people, and there's the person that is a fan of everything on the planet. Stop becoming a fan of chairs. Don't be a fan of sitting down.
Oh, wait, there's a chairs group? I got to join that. I love it. What am I going to do, stand all the time? It's a great idea. It's a great concept.
I'm a fan of breathing. Are you? Are you? Or are you so wacky that you're telling us you're a fan of breeding?
I'm so happy I got off all those things.
You're in a horrible place, Keith, because if you're someone like Fred, you can quit it cold turkey. Or if you're someone like
cold
me,
turkey?
You know.
What do you mean? You can't just quit that? Just...
You did. You decided. You woke up one day, Fred, and decided I'm not doing Facebook anymore.
But who's
and you were
addicted
done.
To that? Like so much
Keith
that they can't
is
quit
addicted.
It.
He doesn't want to do Facebook anymore. I can hear it in his voice. He will not stop it for months.
Steve Thalapa, four of his friends are fans of not being on fire. Which means that the rest of Steve Thalapa's friends love being on fire.
Can you hear this deep-seated hatred in his voice for this whole movement?
Does it bother you that I am actually a member of a group that's fans of giving high fives? Because I like giving high fives. Is there something wrong with that?
Keith has Facebook open in front of this computer while we're doing this radio show when he should be doing other things much more often than he has, for
like
example,
a radio
the chat
show?
Room. Yeah, exactly. He is addicted. He will never run away from Facebook.
I love it so much that I go on the computer, I check my email. I don't ever have an email. Maybe in a week I have made two emails in my email. And then the rest of my...
And I only send the second one because you didn't respond the first
exactly.
time.
Exactly. And then, you know, the rest of it is just all porn. There's no reason you should be on the computer and not watching porn.
What about, all right, when you're done masturbating, then what do you do? Because absolutely, you got to be on RedTube or FreeOnes.com or one of those great sites. But then when you're done there, then what do you do with the other 23 and a half hours of the day?
You shut off the computer, you put the TV on.
Pal Talk, first of all, absolutely. RadioBronzeFans.com, absolutely.
That's pretty much my
Facebook.
Facebook,
I got to go to Mafia Wars to make sure that I do my jobs for the day. Then I got to go to Pet Society and wash my stupid pet Porky. Then I've got to go to my restaurant City, and I have to work on building up my restaurant. I spent such quality time with Barb this afternoon on Pal Talk, as she's explained to me the best things I need to do for my restaurant. Outrageous.
You don't think that's busy work, though? Like
It's fun. It's fun. I enjoy it. I have a good time.
How about taking half that time and put it into some like pre-production of a show thing? Like, you ever think of that? Like doing anything?
Do
like
you
that?
Want me to play the tech show? Do you stuff? Want me to play the techno song I did with the swine flu? Come on, I did
CSI,
it already.
CSI?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't want another CSI. CSI.
Like, if you, Chris, if you were to time yourself after how much time you spend on the computer just doing basically nothing, how much time do you think you would spend?
Facebook. On a daily basis.
Two hours? 3 hours in a day?
Oh, way more than that.
Oh, my God. That's crazy to me. That is crazy to me.
I'm going to say I probably spend close to 2 hours a day on Mafia Wars alone.
Wow.
I got to make sure I get my jobs up. I'm level 79. I got to get up there.
And you know what I did?
I want to be a consigliere.
I started fighting the urge, and I actually finished two books in about 6 days. Now, granted, one of them was the Kirk Cameron biography, but still, I finished two books in like, it was actually like 4 days.
And that was better than that.
And that was by fighting.
I'll agree.
I can become a fan of Kirk Cameron, I think, actually. But that was honestly me fighting the urge. And, you know, yesterday my cable went out. And I said, all right, you know what? I said, you know what? I've had it. For one reason or another.
DVD porn. That's why you have DVD porn.
For one reason or another, I've had it with this company. And I'm just returning this. And I'm canceling my cable. And I'm thinking, like, what do I need? Do I need cable television? I could watch Lost on a regular TV. Do I need or I can watch Lost on ABC.com the next day. I don't have any premium channels anymore. I even got to the point where I said, you know what? I can listen to the Mets on the radio and not watch them on cable and just watch them
on the Victrola?
120 yes. minutes?
I don't even watch them.
In all honesty, though, radio baseball is fantastic.
It is, and I miss radio baseball because I always watch it on TV.
It's just as boring as watching it. I mean, it's the same, basically the same thing.
And in the end, I didn't get rid of it, but I was thinking, this is so true. But then I was thinking, but you know what's going to happen?
The man of conviction tells a story about how he considered something and then said, I can't be bothered.
Because you know what happened?
That's right. Let us know.
And I said to my girlfriend, I was like, we don't need cable, do we? We should just return it. And then I remembered, you know what? I won't have TV. The pile of books will still be sitting there. Now I'll just be on Facebook all day. I'll pay more attention to my pet now.
Yeah, but if you cancel your cable, isn't your cable hooked into your internet?
I meant strictly the TV portion.
Oh, all
right. I was going to cancel.
And would you actually return it?
I'm not Amish.
Would you have your girlfriend go return it?
By the way, I would return it. I would bring the box in just to return for the sake of returning it.
By the way, just a couple things that went by in the chat room that went past. I just wanted to be known. Barb also pointed out you're talking about the creativity that I could be doing recording stuff for the show. Need we remind you of My Liver Really Hurts? Maybe the most brilliant song written in our lifetime. That was one. And the other thing I saw in there was, oh, that Barb's a mission in life now, Brian, is to get you onto Facebook playing Pet Society. And maybe I shouldn't have let you know, because now you're going to be more staunchly against it. But I couldn't imagine you'd be playing it ever.
You know, I actually have valid reasons why I probably should be on Facebook. Like, I am now an uncle.
What's a valid?
I am now an uncle, and my brother has children, had a baby recently, and my mother actually takes photos, and all the photos that are being shared between those and all my Irish cousins and stuff are being shared via Facebook, as well as all these different conversations about, like, invitations to weddings and family events and stuff. And they just assume that everyone is watching and looking at it. So I don't hear about these things until long after they're done or it's over. I mean, when it comes right down to it, it's good, I guess, from my perspective, that I don't have to deal with my family that often. But it's probably a bad thing that I really, you know, don't know what my my niece looks like.
I'm in the same boat. A couple of first cousins of mine just had kid. Maybe three first cousins of mine.
That one of my cousins was pregnant. And she had the kid now through Facebook.
And my wife is on Facebook. She's like, "Oh, did you see the picture?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't see that. You know, I'm not on it." And she's like, "Oh, you want to see?" I'm like, "No, not really. I don't want to see my cousin's kid."
White as Brent says in the chat room. Why would Fred need any of this internet social stuff? He's a pot guy and he owns a couch. He doesn't need anything else.
That's it. I'm a simple dude.
Well, check this out. My brother got married and sent out invitations via Facebook. Well,
there's his mistake right there.
I didn't get the invitation. I didn't know he was getting married until the day before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The day before the wedding?
The day before the wedding, and it was in South Carolina. There was no way I was going to make it. I missed my brother's wedding because I'm not on Facebook.
You have no communication with anyone else in your family that brought up that there was
something? That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is. And,
or good, depending on your perspective.
And the people who think that I'm probably in the loop think that I'm watching them on Facebook, and I'm totally into it. And I, for that reason, I miss my brother's wedding.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Did you feel bad? Did you give him extra money?
I was angry. I felt angry. Like, I can't believe that this is, like, how could you possibly expect that I could turn this around in a day? I'm not doing
you?
It.
Why wouldn't he call you? He doesn't
because
have a number?
Because he assumes that I'm looking at this thing on Facebook.
And you weren't
something.
In the wedding party?
He didn't make
either?
You the best man? Ooh,
how about that?
Who was the best man?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, it was sort of like a shotgun, backwards sort of last-minute plan that they threw together.
You married a dude?
With the intent to get it on paper so that they're both in the armed forces. And if they were married, it's easier for them to be, like, in similar or nearby camps. Otherwise, they'd be on opposite ends of the world. So it was kind of a thrown together last minute thing, but I mean,
yeah, he didn't even invest in invitations.
Exactly.
It's a last minute thing. It was a Facebook event that people got invited to.
But I mean, that happened, and knowing that that level of understanding is I'm supposed to be there in Facebook, I'm still not doing Facebook. And it's like, I mean, I'm rich to go in here and
didn't
say.
Didn't hit you up on the MySpace? You're still on MySpace, though. You love that MySpace, right?
I haven't logged into MySpace in months. I did it because of this show, and I rarely go to see it. I don't like any of that stuff.
Some of the thoughts in the chat room, by the way, are Steve LaLarpa referring to the fact that your brother's wedding being on Facebook is probably the most retarded idea he's ever heard of.
I agree.
Most people are agreeing with that. But
made me angry.
It is amazing when you hear things like this. I got news for you. And I'm not going to mention anyone's name or anything, but a buddy of ours, a buddy that I know, had a death.
Fred?
had a death in the family, and actually announced the wake on Facebook. And I thought, like, whoa, what are you doing?
Ganma.
It started with my family because so many of them were spread like that. My one brother is like on one side of the country. Another brother is constantly being bounced around because he's in Iraq and Afghanistan and Japan, and they're throwing him around everywhere. So like that, apparently through Facebook, he can use that as a method of contacting people, letting them know where they are.
And our buddy Brittany Pablo is saying in the chat that she likes the Facebook sometimes because that's how she finds out if she's in a relationship with someone, because if they request the relationship in Facebook, she knows, like, oh, I'm dating this person apparently.
I'm getting married tomorrow. Wow.
Excellent. That's how she knows it's official.
I mean, it's not, I'm insulting Facebook and not joining in it because I think it's a useless waste of time. And yet there is nothing that I do on the internet that is really worth, you know, the amount of time that I'm spending on it.
Think about the 46 paragraphs you wrote about your theory exactly. on what Sawyer's mustache being a certain length meant to whatever exactly. in the Dharma Initiative.
I'm constantly refreshing the Radio Bronze fans forum, whatever I'm sitting.
You are a lunatic when it comes to moderating that forum. Brian took up his hobby of getting any spammer, like IP addresses and banning, and then you do this, and I did the research.
Guys, subsequently, I've noticed in your most recent brigade to ban this person that instead of banning by IP, you've deleted first. Please understand my 15-point plan on the best way to eliminate spam from the message board.
He's waiting for an ARG, an alternate reality game, to begin through a spammer.
Gab-gab-guy.
And he wonders why he wasn't invited to his brother's wedding.
Right.
Because that best man speech would have been horrendous in about an hour long.
And then I remember your birth. It was one of the most traumatic 26 hours of mother's experience. Allow me to go through hour one. Push, please. Push. Yes. 6 hours later, then at your fourth birthday party, I remembered that you took a larger piece of cake than I did. Obviously some latent homosexuality that I'm thinking you're bearding with this new marriage.
I'm an artist. I have to write in order to increase in my craft.
Do you remember when I beat up Dad at the funeral?
Yeah.
The father of the groom. Yeah, he has a black eye. You should have seen the discussion we had earlier.
Awesome. Great stuff.
That's good. Well, you're talking about Facebook and all the time wasted here on Best in Show, the biggest waste of time here on Heroes Talk. You want to be a part where you can, 877-744-6405. My new thing now, as I've said a couple of times, a couple of weeks in a row now on the show, the new thing that I'm obsessively into at this point is I'm now obsessed with watches. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I've mentioned it. It seems like a regular masculine hobby to have, the idea of collecting watches.
No, it doesn't.
The thing is, well, I know, because to you, watches are – well, I'll allow you to have your form, because you said it only in the chat room. So to those listening, maybe they didn't get your feeling, your anti-watch feeling, because you hate those who are prompt and know what
watches,
time it is.
Watches are an excuse for a man to wear a bracelet, you girl.
And yeah, I think Chris is bastardizing watches. I would like you to call them, Chris, timepieces. I think that's more of a classy term.
Oh, it's true, but I don't necessarily want a timepiece because I have a pocket watch. But I don't necessarily want a pocket watch.
You
fag. I want
to
wear
a pocket watch is for a straight person to act gay, you homosexual.
And my pocket watch actually sits in a jewelry drawer, and it was a gift from my wife for our wedding, but thanks. It was actually has something to do with the union that her and I formed, and it was a little gift that she
Your
gave.
Wife is a male homosexual.
That's
you for
true,
the
yes.
Watch.
Yeah, she likes guys. It's weird. It's very weird and gay of her. But yeah, but I don't use my pocket watch. My pocket watch sits in a drawer. It's not reasonable and feasible and normal for a guy to walk around with a pocket watch any more than it would be to walk around with an oldie time mustache and a monocle
or
and a top
piece of
hat.
Jewelry around their wrist, for example.
I think a piece of jewelry around the wrist it's attractive, it's masculine, it's kind of nice.
Like,
I dig
like
it.
Watches.
I look at Bobby G showing his watch. He's calling you a fag. Bobby G,
I'm
knock
calling
him out.
You a, I'm calling you a girl. I'm not calling you a fag. That should be clarified.
So
I understand that it's not homosexual to wear a watch. I think it's effeminate.
Okay, Steve the LARPer asks in the Heroes Talk Room, what if you wear a watch to the gym to time things? It's serving a functional purpose.
Wear a stopwatch
there.
Around your neck then. Stopwatch.
You know what? He brings up a good point. There are exceptions to every rule. If you're going to be timing yourself while you're running, get that little digital watch and stop it and start it.
Okay, see, I was waiting for the punchline there. I was like,
no, that's it.
You use it for your exercise. Use it for anything in your exercise. Faggot is what I was expecting to come at you about.
Maybe you shouldn't be running on the Stairmaster, you girl.
So, Bri, you see watch as bracelet?
Yeah.
Watch
is jewelry.
Watch is jewelry.
It's a man who's wearing jewelry.
What about a nice
is effeminate?
What about a nice gold chain? A nice gold chain, right?
Jewelry.
Yeah, but effeminate?
Yeah.
Just jewelry and a
wedding
that,
ring?
That guy wedding waiting ring? In the subway with the fat gold chain, he's wearing jewelry.
Wedding
and
ring?
It's effeminate.
Wedding ring? Effeminate?
I acknowledge, I have an issue with wearing a wedding ring myself.
Your
I think
poor,
I.
Because you're not married?
Your poor girlfriend.
But I think that is that's the exception to the rule that I'm outlining.
Yes. Keith Fu, just so you are understanding this correctly, according to Brian, wearing watch is homo, according to Brian.
Not
going
homo.
To Fire
it's
Island
effeminate.
And getting massages right. from Russians and
straight as
houses.
Hell.
Yeah.
Straight as hell. That's fine. And again, don't get me wrong. You're entitled to your opinion. It doesn't mean you're necessarily wrong or a bad person for thinking. That's just, you know, you're entitled to it. It is
jeweler's function. Like it's a function to the jeweler.
That's a very girl way to put that.
I'll be 100% honest with you. If I'm wearing a watch, I am probably still going to be looking at my cell phone for the time. I'm wearing it as a piece of jewelry because I like it. I like the way it looks.
Girls.
Yes, absolutely. That's fine.
Do you wear an ankle bracelet too?
No, but I wear earrings in my ears.
He wears earrings in his nipples.
Yeah, I wear earrings in my nipples. I wear earrings in my ears. I wear a freaking bathing suit. I wear a bikini top at a thing. I am very, very comfortable in my
just
sexuality.
Just as long as you understand that it is a girlish thing. I mean, if that's what you're okay with wearing earrings and wearing a bracelet, then fine.
I don't see that the earrings, I guess I could say, but I don't see that a bracelet or even a bracelet, but a watch, which you're calling a bracelet, is necessarily a feminine thing. It doesn't resonate that way for me.
You know.
It's jewelry. It's a decorative piece of just like pants, just like a shirt. Just wear nothing but plain t-shirts every place. Just wear plain things if that's what you want to do. But you don't do that.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I
How are those shell toes? With the Adidas
you're
name.
Absolutely
on.
Right.
How's
that's
that?
My exception, and I feel guilty about having
I've
that
seen
as my
you wear,
flourishing
I've seen
thing.
You wear shirts that have logos on them.
Right now I'm wearing an old OnSite Access shirt for the company that I used to.
Rest in peace, OnSite Access,
exactly.
Rest in peace.
But it is rare that you will see me wearing a logoed t-shirt. If it is, it's
rare, so you're almost dedicated to your craft, and you're almost a man of principle, and not just a sellout that contradicts
himself. If I'm supporting a friend's business or something, or I'll wear a radio show t-shirt, or if I'm wearing something, it's something significant, and it's not like a little like I'm supporting an actual brand. I'm not buying it because, you know, it's advertising for some major corporation.
What if you like that corporation? What if that corporation is something that you're fond of? What if it is that? What if it is the shell tone? What if it is that you're proud of Adidas and you like them? And hey, maybe their name should be out there because they have a fine quality
yes.
product that you're putting together.
I mean, that's my exception. That's my guilty pleasure. I do wear shells, but I'm never going to wear an Adidas t-shirt unless Adidas is paying me $30 a day to wear an Adidas t-shirt. That's the exception. That's when I'm wearing an Adidas t-shirt. And anyone who wears those logos should realize that they're a walking advertisement and should be compensated accordingly.
Oh,
that has nothing to do with wearing girls' bracelets, though.
By the way, Keith Fu points out in the chat room, this is coming from a guy that owns $600 glasses. Is that true? Your glasses cost $600?
My glasses are very expensive. Yes,
okay.
They are.
And is reason being?
They're
is it fashion or is it? Or is it because like you have a really screwed up prescription? Like you have one eye that doesn't work.
I would like to
he actually has one eye.
It's a robot eye, right, exactly.
I would like to say that they're largely and they are actually largely for the design. There's something that's very interesting about it.
What brand are they? Can I ask?
They are Mickley. They were designed by Stark, who's like a famous architect who does all kinds of like brandizing stuff. So I'm being
okay,
a little guilty here.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. But so basically, you're wearing face jewelry.
I picked these up.
Your face jewelry.
I picked these up because I got in a fist fight with someone and they broke my glasses. And when I went to replace,
and the next time that your glasses got broke, you wanted to make sure they were $600 glasses that were getting.
When
broke.
I looked for my glasses, I looked for glasses that would be able to survive a fist fight. So these,
for
if
the
you
next
look
fist
at
fight.
If you look at on the camera, they bend back like other eyeglasses do in much the same way, but they also bend in the other direction. They're completely like flexible, so that if I were to get hit, they kind of like. Orient themselves, and I don't have to like sacrifice these.
So you bought glasses
yes.
for learning from a fist fight
yes.
to get into another fist fight.
I knew I was working in an environment that I would get in another fist fight again, and I did, and the glasses survived.
Yes, Steve LaLarper, Brian is saying that he is a huge sellout, and yes, White S. Brent, Brian is so punk that it's gay.
I don't know anything that's $600. Like that I wear on my person. Like $600 is probably three of my wardrobes.
Your wedding ring didn't cost you that much?
My wedding cost $250.
Oh, okay.
But I don't wear anything that's $600.
No diamonds in your wedding ring?
No.
You're not blinged out? You're not iced out a little bit?
My wife.
I felt bad about spending this much money on it, but I liked the function of it so much that – and I couldn't find it anywhere else that I had to get these. And I would have liked to – this is the first time I paid this much money for something like
Dead
that.
Dead Hooker Storage says in the Pal Talk room, how about $90 glasses and just duck next time? You know where? Get some better defense and you'll be fine.
My father gets his glasses at like the CVS, like a rotating glass.
They have prescription, though.
They have Marc Jacobs there?
Yeah. Well, Brian, where do you get your non-labeled clothes, though? You have to walk into, you don't shop at the Salvation Army.
Can I just tell you something, honestly? I've known it, and I went this way because I knew this was the truth. I've watched Brian buy clothes with labels and then try and cut the labels off. I've seen Brian trying to cut the Adidas off of sneakers before and then thinking like, nah, I shouldn't do that because they're good sneakers.
They were. When I get gifts from people of T-shirts and stuff that have labels, I do kind of go out of my way to cut the labels off. But for the most part, I buy, you know those dollar stores that are all up and down like Fifth Avenue on Brooklyn? Mm-hmm. I go into there and I buy a pack of three black T-shirts for $10, and that's what, you know.
You buy a pack of jeans there, too? Like, where do you go?
I don't wear jeans.
He wears non-champion sweatpants.
I wear sweatpants that I also get from those places. I buy socks. You guys got into a sock discussion on a Brian Free Monday last one that kind of irritated me. I buy the same gray color socks and white color socks and black socks so that one gets a hole. I throw that one away, and it can be paired with any of the other ones.
Any of your pajamas you can wear them with.
Yeah, PJs, Brian, yes. They're PJs
I get from, like, I get all low-budget clothes,
but
man.
Brian, you used to be in the workforce. You're not wearing dollar socks and dollar sweatpants to the workplace.
When I was, I've seen him in the workplace. Oh. He does. Oh. He would wear dollar shirts, no problem.
I would wear slacks. They were usually plain black or plain blue.
Where'd
or
you
something.
Get them?
Sometimes they would be, like, at an Army Navy store. Yes, I would Gap it because it was very inexpensive, and they didn't have labels marked all over it. So, yeah.
Why does Brian ask in the chat room, Brian's so likable. Why would anyone want to punch him in those $600 glasses? It doesn't make any sense.
And he's like, gig swing at him. I want to see those glasses get tested.
It doesn't make any sort of sense. Hey, again, I you know, Rage Against the Machine, man. Go for it. It's what works for you. And if that's what you want to do, it's cool.
If these glasses had a big logo on it, I wouldn't have bought them. I would have bought them and furiously tried to scrape them off or something like that.
I don't necessarily think it's wrong if you don't want to support logos, if that's the thing you want to go for. If you want to rage against that machine, hey, go for it. It's fine. I think it's a little juvenile how far you go with raging against the machine at times as you're someone that sprained your ankle out in front of my mom's house when you were trying to turn someone's flag upside down in the front of their house. You know, so I mean, your Rage Against the Machine desire is a little bit stronger than I think it should be.
On the other side of the spectrum, you're going out of the way to get shiny looking bracelets that you can put on your arm. So that, I mean, that strikes me not as a brand or anti brand loyalty. That's a girlish thing.
And that's fine. Hold on 1 second. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here. Oh, look at that! It sounds like our buddy Monty calling into the show. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I made my own theme music.
Oh. Awesome. That's our buddy Monty J. Miller. How are you, my friend?
Oh, my God. I could talk to you guys on a Wednesday night.
I know. It's exciting. Exciting for a change. We're not doing our show on Thursday this week, the same time that you're doing your live action television interview style show.
Well, listen, when I heard that you guys weren't doing the show on Thursday, so you could come down to my show, I was so touched, and that's why I'm calling, to say, like, I really think that was really sweet and amazing, and I thank you guys, and I can't wait to see you guys here.
Excellent, yeah.
Monty, I'll be there.
I will be
there. Gravy actually, I'll tell you, know what, Gravy actually came to my show 2 weeks ago.
No, I didn't.
Sell out.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't there. I came afterwards.
You were late. But still, you made the effort.
Wait, is that when you pulled up to pick up your wife in the car? Yes. Is that when you came?
I did the show, and then I went to go pick up my wife at Jay Miller's show, Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller.
Yeah, that's
the point. I saw the effort.
Yeah, that's at Martini Red on Staten Island. So anyone in the tri-state area, actually anybody on the eastern side of the country, get to Staten Island tomorrow over on Van Duser Street. Go to Martini Red.
There's planes, Chris.
Anybody in the Western Hemisphere, get yourself over to Martini Red on Staten Island tomorrow for Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller. Big action-packed show planned for tomorrow night, Jay.
Can I tell you? My plan was to do 5 shows, right? And we've done 4 of them, and we've done, I would say, 3.5 amazing shows. And
if you
I'm
do say
super
so
critical,
yourself.
But I just think they've been great. They've been so funny and so much fun, and the room has been packed for each one. It's insane. It's been insane.
Nice.
That's it. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's, I mean, that's awesome. I know that the, you know, before, you know, when you did your first show back when you had Keith and I on in the early stage of the show, it was a great vibe and it was a really good feeling. And unfortunately, because you've always done them on Thursdays and we've done the show on Thursday, I haven't been able to be at one since, but I'm looking forward to being there tomorrow.
He's changed that.
Well, let me tell you who we got tomorrow.
Okay.
Can I tell you?
Go ahead.
Please.
Well, number one, we have, Rich Russo, who is a DJ on W, 101.9 in New York.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? RXP?
Yep.
Do you guys know who he is? What is
I do.
DJ?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Ish.
Like, I try and get, like, radio DJ guys.
Nice. Wait, was that a backhand?
But also on Staten Island, for those who are on Staten Island, there's a Staten Island cable commercial for Gino's Pizzeria.
Oh, my God.
With a guy who says, come on over for dinner. We got that guy on the show tomorrow.
No, you do not.
Oh, we do.
So you're getting real celebrities.
Yeah, we got this. Yeah.
I love the excitement in his voice when he tells you the Gino guy on there, but a guy who's actually on a popular radio station in New York City. It's like, yeah, well, you got that guy. But I got the guy who does a commercial.
Well, yeah, that guy, yeah. That's
we've exciting had, news. Like, last week we had Kevin Devine, and the week before that, I feel like we had someone. But we have, like, you know, pretty decent people. But when I told people we're getting the guy from the pizza commercial, everyone went crazy. Oh, we got to be there for this one.
Let me
tell you this. Okay, maybe you guys can help me out. He's a little Staten Island, you know, like it's a cult pop, you know, like a cult hit now on Staten Island. With this real guy, he kind of looks like he's a little slow. And he's like, I'm inviting everyone from Staten Island to come on over for dinner. Are you guys familiar with it?
I am totally familiar with it.
You mean
Jay.
He talks slowly? Is that what you mean by a little slow?
He's wearing like a chef's outfit, and he's like a pizzeria guy, and he just says,
oh, so
to the
he
camera,
works slowly. Yeah. He like walks slowly?
A Staten Island guy doing a commercial in an accent of a dumb Italian. It's really, I know it's an abstract concept for you to comprehend.
But the way that it's edited, it just makes him look so bad. But that's why I'm bringing him on the show, because when I started talking to him, he started telling me that he gets about 100 phone calls a day of people asking him if they could come on over for dinner.
Oh, Jay, could you
come on over for dinner?
And that's why I was like, I need you to come on the show.
Jay, could you have dinner for everybody?
You should
and like
definitely
he really them. Does. Everybody does come over for dinner.
After the show, we could do it like a Andy Kaufman kind of thing, where everyone comes over for dinner at midnight.
You should at least have some Gino's pizza for him, just waiting. You know,
but let me
surprise.
Tell you. But you know, the guy was really nervous that I was going to like make fun of him. You know, and that was his like real like he was really nervous.
No.
That. But I'm not going to make fun of him. You crazy,
Jay? I got a good idea. Get 3 pieces of pizza, one from his place and 2 from different places, and see if he can guess what pizza is made from his place. Get something from a couple of different like pizzerias in his place.
He just said that he's not going to make fun of the guy. He's going to try and clown the guy on
his
place.
Well, that's not a clowning.
I don't want to do anything that's going to make him uncomfortable or weird.
That's going to make him uncomfortable eating pizza, finding out which one is his?
Listen, I'm sure Gino's going to bring a few of the little Ginos with him, all right? So I'm not doing anything that's going to bother anyone.
All right, I understand. I understand.
Maron.
I understand.
By the way, Jay, Nancy Sinatra's opening your show tonight.
Yeah. Hey, I also did a radio interview on WSIA today, and where we debuted the brand new Monty Love song.
The brand new Monty Love song? This new recording out there?
Fred, I didn't know you were doing
a new song, yeah.
Record.
It's called... what's it called? Back Together? Reunited, and it feels so blah.
So Fred, you must be involved in that production?
I am involved.
What, you played it on the air, really?
Yeah, I played it on my phone. It was the day that I heard it. We played it over the air, and it sounded great.
So Fred, you were involved in this?
We do all recordings over the phone.
Yes, I was involved in this. I actually wrote the song.
I'm so glad to know that the radio, the big scoops of the big Monty Love songs, they go to the local college station, not the actual show that a member of the band is in. I'm glad to find that.
Oh,
out.
Please listen. We tried to do a Monty Love segment. That went right down the toilet fast.
Wait, dude. Hold on a second. That was Ron and Fez that threw that down the toilet, not us.
No. We tried to do it on your show. Nobody cared.
The fascinating thing is that we actually have a member of the Monty Love here in our presence regularly on our show, and this is the first time we're hearing about this.
We tried doing Monty Love stuff on your show. It totally bombed. I'm not going to try it again.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, here's the thing. I was off for a week, and I was very nostalgic to play music again, and I was talking to all the old band members, texting them, and I thought I would just write a song, just thinking about the band and the times that we have. And it's a song called Reunited, and it feels so blah.
Do you actually have the song here?
Take a listen.
So can we actually have a real version of the song here? So the real debut of it will actually be here on the show, not Jay over the radio on the local college station?
Yes.
I'm just trying
to convince
myself that that's the case. But we've already been clowned.
Well, I certainly didn't know that he was going to play it for somebody else, you know?
You're an actor. I don't believe anything
you're saying.
Play the song.
Exclusive. Kinda.
We've grown old, money's grown fat, too bad the love got gravy back. Bebo beats the drums, Lockie's killing them, Monty's losing on 10-1s. We need some good news today, we need some good news today, we need some good news today, we need some good news today. Back together, but not to stay. Some good news today. Back together, but not to stay. We need some good news today.
Exclusive.
Awesome. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. We're back together. Yeah, it's good stuff. Is that that's the one song? That's you recorded one song. Are there more plans, or is this?
I think there's more plans. I mean,
I like the drumming.
Let me tell you, the thing about it was that Gravy wrote a song, named a new album, and was like, when's practice? So, he must have been, I can't even imagine the levels of boredom that he was at to send those messages out. But
he doesn't have Facebook. He was just telling us before, he doesn't use Facebook anymore. He needs something to fill his time.
It's all right.
They genuinely got me excited to be like, oh, okay, let's do it. So, I mean, I'm sure he's over it by now, but listen, that's fine.
No, man, I'm not over it, man. Let's go back. We're getting back together. Let's get the band back together.
My last show is Thursday. Is tomorrow. Oh my god! And then I'll devote some time to the love. But you know what? Most of it, we should just hang out. You know, maybe watch some videos, write some songs, drink some beers. You know, just be friends again.
I'm with that, except the friends part. Everything but the friends part, I'm with.
And I just want to say something. I met Jay when WSIA, the radio station he was on today, the local college station, I met him when he joined the station. I was already a DJ at that station. And then I left not soon after that. And I remember seeing him one night at a local concert venue called the Rock Palace here on Staten Island.
The Rock Palais.
And it was the next time I saw him after that, and we were talking about how I was like, yeah, I left. And he's like, yeah, man, there's all these rumors that you stole a lot of stuff from there. Is that true? And my response was, nah, man, honestly, like, this is what happened. There was a misunderstanding. I got accused of stealing all the stuff, but whatever. And, like, I go through this whole story, and his reaction is, oh, really? But just tell me one thing. That Kids in the Hall CD, did you steal that?
Yeah.
And for the record, the answer is yes, I did steal that Kids in the Hall CD, and I still have it.
Oh, I wanted that.
I'm going to give that to you.
I told a story today on the radio station that the kid edited out. He didn't air it. But what I used to do was I used to climb up the CD case and go through the ceiling into the room where all the CDs were and used to take CDs from there.
Classy. Classy. That's a classy maneuver right there.
But the reason that I didn't care that Keith and friends stole was that I never liked Blur.
No, I will say I bought every Blur album. I gave them my $9 or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah, you stole all the records that I hated, so I didn't mind at all.
I will say I took a lot of vinyl new wave albums that I was told, you're not allowed to play that, it's too old and outdated. And I said, oh, okay, so I'll play it at home.
Sure, take them.
Thank you. I appreciated all of that.
Well,
people will be like, where's the Brian Eno records? And I'd be like, oh, thank God, they're gone.
Monty, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, man. I'll be there.
What's tomorrow?
Your show.
Mid-evenings with Jay Miller, Thursday nights here on Staten Island.
I missed the whole point of what I called. Is what do I talk to this guy about?
Pizza. Gino, ask him how he feels about the Monty Love reunion, I think would be probably the best thing to go with. That's probably the best angle.
Ask him if he's autistic.
Hey, did you hear the song, Gino? Listen to this. Listen to this. Yeah, Gravy wrote it after years of not being in the band. It's nuts.
Ask him how much he benches.
I'm afraid that the interview is going to be like a minute long. Be like, hey, you made this video. This commercial. What do you think? He's like, it's good. All right, see ya.
maybe that's the angle. Hey, you made a commercial. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Are you going to have him say line?
Guys, we totally effed up this whole thing. Because we could have been partners. We could have been in bed with each other. With the show and your show. We both got shows. And I think if the show comes back in the summer and it's on a Thursday night again, we should do something. We should share guests, you know, have my guests call your show before and then vice versa.
Every guest that we have in here will be more than happy to send to your show. We'll send them in triplicate to your show. You'll get zero, but it'll be fantastic. But
three zeros.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about that because then I feel like I'm going to have Vito at my show every week.
And Mike from Queens, who you just love.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should talk about that in the summer. And yeah, the last show's tomorrow. Everyone come on over for funny.
Absolutely. It's Mid-Evenings with Jay Miller. It's at Martini Red on Staten Island, Van Duser Street. If anybody's interested in going, you could go to the RadioBronzeFans.com. We'll throw something up in the forum, put all the information about it down there. I know I'm planning on going. I believe Fred's going to go. I hope everybody heads out to the show. It'll be a good time. We'll crush it. We'll crush it.
Are you really coming?
Yeah, why do you think I didn't do a show tomorrow night? That's the main reason why we got rid of Thursday. No, that's not the reason why. But yeah, of course, I'm not doing anything tomorrow night. That's the only reason I don't go to the shows. Why wouldn't I go?
Oh, that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah, I know. A guy's going to be sitting there. Some guy's going to be sitting in the back that you know.
No, wow. I get happy that you'll be there. And that now puts more pressure. I haven't written an opening sketch yet. Honestly, I have no idea what I'm doing for it. So that's kind of a bummer.
Show prep.
Let Brian write it for you. He's not doing much of anything.
Yeah, he could help.
Right, but the Monty Love. I guess we're back together. It's official.
Nice. Excellent.
So we'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get to hear about the next appearance that you guys do on a Staten Island College radio station instead of our show. I look forward to it.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Excellent, buddy.
Thanks, Monty.
Thank you.
You'll never achieve your dreams.
I hope he at least stole. I hope he at least stole the Monty Love CD from WSIA.
We'll see. YouTube.com/Monty Love. YouTube.com/Monty Love is where you can get some old Monty Love, and who knows, maybe soon new Monty Love stuff as the band is back together. It's exciting.
Wow.
It's very exciting stuff.
This blew my mind that I said that.
And me too. Me too. My mind is blown. But you were actually there, so you shouldn't have been that mind blown by, wow, I recorded that? Hey, I wrote this?
By the way,
I'm really not going tomorrow, by the way. You're not going, right, Chris?
Come on! No! I definitely really will go. I definitely. Will go.
I'm curious how that song became a Monty Love song. I mean, am I wrong, or is it you playing a guitar singing into a microphone?
Yeah, that's basically it.
And how was the rest of the band involved in that?
Oh, they weren't.
Okay,
they weren't at all. They soon will be, though.
All right. So this is the demo.
Well, that's how things come to fruition. Right. You know, you write a song, you play for the boys.
You, sir, are an artist.
Of course. High artist.
You're creating. Right here in front of our eyes. We're witnessing.
There's nothing more that I hate than Monty Love is getting back together. I hate it already.
You got that nice amp.
Oh, that's true. Maybe I could get rid of that amp. Still haven't got rid of it.
Oh, there you go. Awesome. He'll buy it.
It's exciting stuff. I'll be there. I hope everyone comes down to Martini Red tomorrow night. We'll have a grandiose old time. I don't know if we're going to close anything about the about watches, about jewelry, about your socks, anything else you felt you needed to get off your chest that you wanted to
do, stop wearing jewelry
that you wanted to spit anymore.
That's it. Just
okay. I'll do that. By the way, part of my big plan is I'm obsessively looking at watches. The big plan is I've decided now at 35 years old, I'm going to start a little savings plan. Even though I can't afford to do it, and my big savings plan, the goal of it is for my 40th birthday, I'm going to buy myself a Rolex.
Wow.
That is my goal. That's
how much
my big
do those
one.
Go for?
The one that I'm looking at goes for about $20,000. when it actually comes down to it and I have $20,000 in front of me, I don't believe that I will actually really spend $20,000 on
How's
a watch.
How's that $40,000 debt running on you?
But the it's getting smaller.
The Rolex plan will have netted you $20,000.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it's going to come down to.
And there'll be a new hotter watch, though. That's going to be more expensive. That's what you're going to want.
It's never going to get hotter than the Daytona chronograph.
Really?
Yeah, the Rolex is like the...
It's timeless.
The Chanel No. 5 watch. Timekeeping. You know, it's the watch that's never going to be like...
out of style or anything like that.
But you figure they'll go up in price. Like the $20,000 now, you know, might be $30,000, $35,000 when he's 40.
I think he factored in inflation. He factored in that. Yeah, he
pays $20,000 for a watch.
I could probably get one for a lot cheaper than that. You could probably find it for like $5,000, $6,000.
Why don't you just get a fake one?
In Chinatown.
I think, yeah, Canal
Street.
For
that, get a couple hundred dollars. Canal Street, $20.
What about college for your daughter?
I'm doing that, too. You say this as you hand me your Movado that I'm supposed to be looking at.
Well, the Rolex has a nice light that she can self-study from. There you go. So.
No, she's going to be
just
smart.
Give it to your
she's
daughter.
Get a scholarship. She's going to enjoy
and
herself.
Then the student loans can pay for your Movado, your watch there.
It's going to be very exciting.
It'd be great if you gave the watch to your daughter and be like, you're wearing your college education. Be careful with it.
It's really just a crazy thing. The fact that I'm seriously considering starting to save money to get a Rolex when I have no right to own a Rolex. I don't make the kind of money to have one like it, but it's something that I want. It's something I want to splurge on and enjoy myself with, and I'm excited. And I won't wind up doing it when it comes down to it.
That just reminded me of that movie, Some Kind of Wonderful. It's like one of them 80s movies. And the kid Eric Stoltz takes his college money out of the bank to buy like the rich girl that he likes a pair of diamond earrings. Yep. And his father says to him, and after his father goes in the room like, what happened to your money? And it resolves itself in his father saying, well, I'm still not giving up on college for you. Like, it's fine that he just took out, like, $25,000 to buy a girl that's already rich earrings.
But that was for the girl. If he was buying himself the diamond earrings, so the jewelry, it's a different thing.
At least you're not a fag, son.
Guys don't wear jewelry in 80s.
I know. I know. They didn't wear one diamond stud in any of their earrings. Yeah.
Well, maybe in the Breakfast Club that, Neil Bender wore the diamond earring.
Neil Bender.
That's a skateboarder.
John Bender. Come on.
Neil Bender.
Isn't there a skateboarder, Neil Bender? I think that's what I just did.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to getting my Rolex. I'm looking forward to watches. I've actually gotten to the point now that the best part is not only am I spending all my time that's not Facebook related, which I know is minimal, that I'm looking on watch websites and I'm obsessed with it. But I don't even own one watch yet. Like I'm
but you're wearing one.
I have a really real. I shouldn't say I have a crap watch. I have like a $20 piece of garbage watch that doesn't even keep time very well.
You're like a little poor girl keeping pictures of toys she wants.
Exactly. I'm the girl with the paper bag that I draw the lunchbox pictures on that I want with my watch.
You're Tiny Tim looking in the window at the toys.
I swear to God, I go home. I'm on these watch websites all day. I was looking into subscribing to a watch magazine. Like it's a crazy obsession at this point that I can't even handle.
That's like back when we first started doing a radio show. For some reason, Chris and I decided that we were going to move it to Hawaii and we were going to be on the radio in Hawaii. And like every day for like a month, every night, I would just sit looking at like real estate in Hawaii. Like I didn't even have a job, I don't think, at the time. I decided I was buying real estate in Hawaii.
Oh, how times change. Or not. Yeah, it's so exciting.
You know what? You'll know exactly how those times change in style in a few years.
We'll see.
Do you know how to tell time?
Yeah, I can tell right now that it's 11 o'clock and we're about to end Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with years and the place to be. Special thanks to our buddy Jay Miller. I'm trying to think who else called it.
Nugget Man.
Special thanks to Nugget Man. That's it. That's everybody. It. And thanks to all of you for checking out the show and listening to this whole thing. A couple quick things I just need to throw out there that I've been saying for weeks I was going to. I feel like a jerk that I never got to it. Our buddy Spickle asked us to give a shout out to Harry Callis. Hey, buddy. Sorry. Rest in peace, good man. And to our buddy. Our buddy Brix Avalon, congratulations on welcoming your son, Emmett Izzy, into the world. Good stuff. Our buddy Brix Avalon, good man.
That kid is going to be well fed.
Absolutely. These are things I've been wanting to say for weeks, and I never remember to say anything. So I write them down. Now it works. It's awesome. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Thanks for hanging, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night for the Awful Hour, and right after this for the Awful Hour. Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio, and hopefully tomorrow at Martini Red. Peace.
entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.